across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
So I watched Zootropolis today. It's had brilliant reviews everywhere. And I don't want this show to descend into, you know, kind of slagging things off just for the sake of it. That's easy. That's easy. That's the old act. But Zootropolis was a massive load of old rubbish.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio is back.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio. Ian Lee on air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Evening, Ian Lee, Talk Radio. So, yeah, I don't want to do that thing. That's where that wire goes. If only I had a soldering iron, I could fix it. Never mind, hang on. Play the music a bit more. So, busy show this evening. We've got Colin Blunstone from the Zombies coming on at 11:30. Now, I'm a latecomer to the Zombies. I never really dug them, apart from the obvious one. She's not the obvious song, the hit. She's not there. And then someone a few weeks ago says, "Oh, you must." A friend of mine, Tim in the States, says you must listen to Odyssey and Oracle by the Zombies. And I kind of thought, well, I bet it's a bit rubbish. I bet it's a little bit rubbish. And I listened to it. It blew my mind, man. It blew my tiny mind. I've not heard anything like it. Well, I have, actually. Forever Changes by Love. It's kind of like the British Forever Changes. Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. I'm not quite ready. I've got these headphones that keep cutting in and out. But with a little bit of sellotape, I can fix it. Thank you very much indeed. You know the rules by now. Oh, you're going to write that down for me. Thank you. You know the rules by now. I sit here and kind of talk about stuff, and you call in, and you can either talk about that stuff, or you can kind of talk about other stuff if you want. I'm not that fussed, really. You can talk random nonsense. Lots of calls and texts last night and tweets I had today about Steve Hart, the prepper that we had, who proved very popular, primarily because of his dietary requirements, were he to ever face the zombie. No, that's not what I need, Catherine. I need the page. There's an actual Wi-Fi login page. It's a series of numbers. That's what I need. That's what I can't find. I'm having great trouble getting online. I had it, and then I made the mistake of closing my computer. It's like 192.68.326.777. Do you know what I'm talking about, Ed? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, man? But I don't know if I did. There it is. Oh, no, it's not. No. I need that to get onto that. You can talk, by the way. You're in a studio, so I would make full use of the... is that going to work? It worked. How the hell did that work? Look at that, man.
You have to connect it.
No, but that's not how I've been connecting it before. I've been connecting it by going to that. Anyway, it don't matter. We're on. We're in. We're on. We're rocking and a-rolling. We're rocking and indeed a-reeling Barbara Ann. So, I went and saw Zootropolis today. It's half term, okay? And I don't want this show to kind of be one of those isn't everything rubbish and slagging everything off? Because I've done that in the past. It's easy to do that. That's an easy act to do. And everyone does that. And I was really trying to make this show a bit more positive in its tone. 0844 499 1000. But I sat through Zootropolis, and it's this kid's film, right? I don't know if it's Pixar, but it's of that ilk, you know, and it was 3D, so we had to pay the top dollar for it, double bubble for it. What's going on now? Well, you can talk. You're in the studio.
Keep going.
Yeah, but what are you doing?
Just sorting your thing.
Oh, blimey.
You know, that thing that does this.
There we go, you see. This is all very exciting. Rebooting. It is rebooting. Now I can see all the emails slagging me off. Thanks. Thanks. So I went to see Zootropolis, right? It was rubbish. It was 3D, so it cost an absolute fortune to go and see it. It was a stinker. There were no jokes in it. Well, there were jokes in it, but they were kind of for adults, really. There was references to The Godfather, to they had a Breaking Bad spoof in it, which is a program about making I can't remember what the drug is. I sat through seven
meth.
That's it. If you're going to speak, come on the microphone and speak it. That's it. Otherwise, it gets very confusing. And that was it. And that was it. There were no jokes in it. There was no one getting hit on the head by the pianos or anything like that. I've never seen such a dull movie in my life. Halfway through it, my youngest boy says, "Can we go home now, Daddy? Can we go home?" It was a sting. When did they stop making kids' films that were, you know, for kids? When did they stop doing that? Inside Out is another example of a film which is not for kids at all. It's an adult film. It's all about neuroses and the Freudian psychology and having a breakdown. That's what it's about. And they market it as a kids film. And I took the boys and I said to them afterwards, "Did you like it?" "Yeah." "Why did you like it?" "It was colourful." "Right, you didn't pick up on any of the..." "Of course I didn't. It's not kids." And why do they do that? What's wrong? The Postman Pat movie is another one. The rubbish I have to watch as a dad. The Postman Pat film, right? It introduces the X Factor. Simon Cowell is in it, or a Simon Cowell type spoof is in it. And then there are loads of robot Pats that want to take over the world. Why couldn't it just be a nice film about some packages getting stuck in the sheep pen? That's what happens in the TV programme, Yasser.
So what are you talking about, Harry?
Kids' films are not really for kids anymore. They're all too many winks to camera for the mums and dads.
You know why that is, Ian?
Go on.
That's because the kids go there, the parents go there, they can make more money, and it's all about money.
I have to ask this. Are you in a tiny metal box?
No, I'm on speakerphone.
Oh, Yasser! Come on! Yasser, I can boogie. Come on, pick the phone up, man. Pick the phone up.
All right, let's take it in.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to press the button. It's not working.
Well, pick it up.
Can you hear me now?
No, you're still on speakerphone. Don't pretend you're not. What?
Yeah, I'm not on speakerphone now.
Yes, you are. You're still...
No, I'm not.
On speakerphone, Yasser!
I turned it off.
You've not... You don't know how to work a phone.
No, I do, Ian.
But you're still on... I can hear you fumbling with it.
No, yeah, but that's because I've always got on speakerphone.
But it is on... honestly, I'm not winding you up. It is on speakerphone.
No, but it's not. I turned it off.
But then why does it sound like you're on speakerphone?
No, I've turned it off. It's on a free button. I don't want it in.
Right. What we're going to do is I'm going to hang up and we're going to call you straight back. So don't put it on speakerphone. Just pick it up and answer it, OK?
Okay, I don't know what's going on then.
OK, right. Just call him back. That's fine. Flip it out. I hate speakerphone. We'll get Yasser back. And, Yasser likes movies, you see. He likes movies, so I know he'll know where I'm coming at with this. 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Yasser! Hello?
Hello, yeah?
Flipping it. Is your phone made of cardboard?
No.
Could you make a phone of cardboard? I bet you could. Not you personally. I don't suppose you... Well, maybe you could. But I bet somewhere some hipster has built a biodegradable phone.
All right, yeah, but then... my phone's not on speakerphone. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, is it on speakerphone or not?
No, it's not on speakerphone. I just answered it. As you said, answer it. I haven't done anything to the phone.
Well, you've just got a very echoey voice then, yes.
Must be that.
It must be that because you wouldn't be lying to me, would you?
No. It ain't on speakerphone. It was before, but it's not now.
Okay. You promise?
Yeah, 100%.
Cross your heart?
Yeah.
Okay, well, fine. Fair play. What have you got for us, yes?
I don't know. I've got a topic for you.
Beautiful.
I don't know if you've got any topics.
We haven't got anything tonight. I'm not feeling the vibe. The vibe is not strong with this one, Yasser. So anything you've got, bring it in.
I know that you were talking about banning stuff. I've got something that I think we should ban.
Yeah, go on. What's that?
Texting while walking.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'll have that. I will have that.
No, because the reason why I was thinking, I'll go outside, I'm walking, and people are texting and walking straight into me. And they're going past and saying, hello, can you not see me? Hello, the phone can't walk for you. Are you that?
Maybe.
Or something?
Maybe they can't see you.
I said, I don't know. That's what I said. I said, maybe the phone is so clever, it kind of walks for them, but it's actually kind of rubbish phone if you can't even do that for them. So
I don't want to blow my own trumpet because I haven't got one.
Well, that's fair enough, but
I know I haven't got one. Maybe you can buy me one.
Do you know, here's the thing, bloody lips.
What?
Bloody lips.
Well, you lost me, sorry, what's he saying?
I'm saying bloody lips.
No, you're still confusing me. I don't know what you're saying.
Well, if you learn to play the trumpet, if you practice as much as you need to, you will end up with bloody lips.
How do you know?
What do you mean, how do I know? I know lots of things.
All right, then.
I know, I'm a very wise man. I won Mastermind.
I've seen it on YouTube, I haven't watched that one.
No, you should watch it, because I'm good at it. I'm wearing a cravat. Okay, yeah, no idea. Here's another thing I've seen, Yas, right, which is even worse. This is nuts, right? It's even worse than people texting when they're walking, right?
Yeah.
People reading a book when they're walking.
No, I've never...
I have seen that so many times. People actually reading a book.
What, in the street?
Yeah, in the street, walking along, in the street, reading a book. Sit down and read a book. No book, not even your holy books, listeners. No book is that good that you have to read it whilst walking.
But that's the difference. If you're so interested in a book, just get an audio book.
I don't like audiobooks. I ordered a book the other day, right? John Lennon's Letters. You know who John Lennon is, yeah?
Yeah. I'm not that stupid.
Well, who is he then?
Beatles.
Okay, fair play. All right. 5 points. And I ordered John Lennon's Letters because it was only like a penny. You can get these books for a penny, and then you have to pay £1.26 postage, right?
Well, audiobook.
Well, I thought it was a book. Turns up it's two CDs. I don't want to listen to that. Being read by Christopher Eccleston. No, thank you.
All right. He's not your favourite doctor, then?
No, he's... My favourite doctor is Dr. Nookie.
I did.
Is someone tickling you?
No, they're laughing.
OK, good lad. All right, yeah, it's nice to talk to you, mate.
All right, see ya.
Cheers, fella. Ta-ta. 0844 499 1000.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Nigel's on the line. Good evening, Nigel.
Oh, good evening, Ian. All right, how are you?
Blimey, they're all coming out of the woodwork. They're all coming out of the woodwork. Flipping heck.
Bristol next, won't it?
This is like a walk... For those about to rock, we salute you. This is like a walk down the history of phone-in radio callers.
The Talk Sport golden years.
They're golden... there are a lot... I recognise your voice from boring... from talking to Mike Mendoza.
The Mike Graham show as well.
Yes, yeah.
The Mike Mendoza show.
Okay. If you don't say his name three times, because if you do, we all get sucked up his bumhole. Yeah. Now, who's that in the background? Your mum?
Pardon?
Who's that in the background? Mum?
Yeah, she's just been coming out of the toilet, so I've got... she's gone in the front room.
Is she all right?
She's okay, yeah. She's a bit worried about me going on the radio.
Why?
Well, because the neighbours, you know, they don't like me talking too loud late at night.
Hang on a minute, Nigel. The neighbours? No. Are you living in one of those Japanese houses with the paper?
I've got neighbours above me. I have to be pretty quiet in the evening.
You're talking on the telly. You're allowed to talk on the telephone.
Yes, I'm okay. I'm okay if I don't sing too much. I think that's the trouble. If I sing, it's too noisy.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to ask you to sing.
I was going to say...
Where have you been for the last 10 years? Because
I've been on different other radio stations as well.
Yeah.
The BBC Radio Kent I was on at Christmas time.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But I was with James Well that was on.
Sorry to hear that as well. It's sad news about James. We'll do a special show in memory of him at some point. But
yeah, they videoed me singing in the studio, which was good. They put on Facebook the BBC Radio Kent Facebook.
I bet they did. I bet they did. Nigel,
can I say that Talk Sport the Golden Years, I've got most of my videos from the Mike Mendoza show.
You said it three times. We're all about to be sucked up there.
Sorry, very much. Sorry about that.
We're going to be sucked up.
Would you like a quick song to finish?
Hello. I feel, Nigel, that I have played a very, very, very minimum role in this conversation.
Carry on.
Well, no, I'm quite happy for you to steamroll all over me. Oh, wait, 444991000.
I didn't think I was going to get on the programme. I'm so pleased to be back on the radio again.
Why would we not let you on?
Well, there are various people that are a bit jealous sometimes, aren't there?
Who? Who's jealous of you? Tell us. Give me their name.
Sometimes there's so many callers, it is hard to get on the show.
Not on the new talk radio. There's not that problem. No one has encountered that problem yet, let's just say.
I've just sent a message to Miley Cyrus to have a listen about 5 minutes ago, so hopefully she's listening to the show.
Hang on one second. How did you send a message to Miley Cyrus?
I did on Facebook about 5 minutes ago, and then I rang your show, and now I've got straight on yet. So hopefully she had a listen.
How well do you know her?
Well, I do Facebook with her for the last year, I suppose, really.
Okie dokie. She replies to you, does she?
Her friends do, actually. Somebody called Mike Starr, who's a record producer that works with Miley Cyrus.
Oh, blimey.
He sends private messages to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, because don't forget it's daytime there in America.
Yeah.
And he helps me with my career a bit, so with different things. My videos are on his Facebook page as well.
And how's the career going?
I'm mostly famous on Facebook. Yeah, I haven't got any gigs as a drummer. I was a drummer for 40 years. And I've got no gigs at the moment. but in actual fact, I did work for a shop, JB's Music Shop in rural Tunbridge Wells.
Yep.
I promoted a video for them in the shop. I played the drums and they filmed me and then they put it onto Facebook. So it promoted the shop, and I got paid for that.
Are you a good drummer? Because everyone thinks that drumming is easy. Can you do? Because I can do the boom boom bam bam boom boom bam bam. But can you do your feet at the same time?
Of course, yeah. Since I was 11.
Yeah, because that's the trick, is doing the feet as well as the hands. The hands are easy. It's the feet
as
well.
I'd like to drum for you tonight, but of course it's too late to do it this time of night, isn't it?
Yeah. Not for me it isn't, but I imagine your neighbours upstairs. You start getting your Ludwigs out, you're going to be in serious trouble.
But hopefully people can have a butchers at me videos on Facebook or Twitter. I'm on Twitter as well.
Oh, what are you on Twitter?
It's Nigel Reader Twitter. Nigel Reader 3, sorry, yeah, Nigel Reader 3. It goes take
Nigel
straight
Reader?
R-E-A-D-E-R.
Yeah.
Nigel Reader 3, Twitter.
Here we go. You've got
it's all on there.
Hey, look at that, it's a nice jumper.
It is. Is it me drumming?
No, it's you with a microphone, with a posh microphone.
Oh. Probably singing a Miley Cyrus song.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, well, yeah. I don't think... Oh, I could name one Miley Cyrus song, Wrecking Ball.
Oh, yeah, but I usually sing ballads, and I like the Whitney Houston songs, like The Greatest Love of All. They suit my voice better.
Isn't it sad about Whitney?
It was terrible, yes. Yeah. Well, with Michael Jackson, I was a big fan of as well.
Well,
weren't we all, you know?
Well, no.
Thriller, and that.
Yeah, thriller. All right, well, what are you going to sing for us tonight then, Nigel?
Should I do an impression, or would you like an impression instead? Oh, no, I can do a song if you like.
You can do both. I know we're busy on the phones, but I reckon we can fit you in.
Mm. What should I sing now? I'll do Fly Me to the Moon, if okay?
Beautiful.
Okay?
Beautiful.
I'll just stand. I'm sitting down.
Stand up. You can't sing sitting down.
Fly me to the moon, and let me play amongst the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter or Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Ooh, fill cheeky. My heart with song. Let me sing forevermore, because you are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Scooby dooby 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 doo doo, yeah. Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, come on, it don't get much better than that.
Pardon?
That was excellent, Nige.
Yes, I need a bit of backing, of course, don't you, when you're singing a song?
Yeah, but you can do it Acapulco. It doesn't matter.
I'm a bit nervous, of course.
Oh, shut up, Nigel. You've been doing this longer than I have, for crying out loud. Nothing to be... Hey, listen, fella, Nigel, anytime you call in, you've got a slot on the show, I promise.
Yeah, is that every night of the week during the week, is it?
Well... Yes, I've said it now.
You're on 5 days a week.
I'm on Monday to Friday, till 1 at night, yes.
I don't know. I think I should be able to pick your station up, shouldn't I? Because
you've not been listening.
But I've got it. It's on TalkSport. I'm on TalkSport Radio, so of course I am. I'm on it all the time.
No,
yeah.
We're not. This isn't TalkSport.
Oh, isn't it?
No, this is Talk Radio, which is different.
Is it far from the other one?
No, if I were to open that door now, I could chuck to a brick. It would hit Andy Goldstein on his big head.
Well, I'll try and find it now, then, because I thought you were on TalkSport. Sorry.
No, let me just get this right, Nigel. You've not been listening to the show.
Well, but I didn't know until yesterday, because Russ told me.
Do you know who I am?
Yes, Ian Lee.
Beautiful. Yeah, you can only get it on DAB and online. So have you got a DAB radio?
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is.
If you got to retune it and you find Talk Radio on there, or you can go online, talkradio.co.uk, and you can listen there.
What, on the internet?
On the internet, yeah, you can listen there.
I'll try anyway.
All right, nice to talk to you, mate.
So I'll give you a call next week.
You give us a call whenever you want, buddy, of course you can.
And I can do my impression.
Of course you can, fella. Lots of love to mum, yeah?
Yeah, God bless you.
See you later, mate.
Thanks for letting me on, Ian.
Not a problem, Nigel. See you later on. Take care, mate. There we go. Blimey. Well, Nigel, that's a blast from the past. 0844 499 1000. This gig is really interesting, right? I suspect it's going to be a quiet night on the phones, which is absolutely fine by my thing, because I can sit here and talk for England. What's interested me in terms of the calls that I've had is that I've got to fix these headphones. Look, I'm balancing. The way I'm getting this to vaguely work is I'm balancing a wire on top of another wire so it touches some metal. There we go, I'll finger it there. I'm getting a nice mix of callers from when I used to be at LBC, callers from when I used to be at Absolute and Virgin, callers from Three Counties, and new callers, which is great. And then we're starting to get a mix of historic phone-in radio callers, like Nigel there, which is awesome. Listen, guys, on this show, everybody is welcome, right? I've got very low standards. Very low standards. Everybody is welcome. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. We shall give you a call back coming up in an hour. We've got Colin Blunstone from The Zombies. The thing about The Zombies, right, I was saying I only got into them recently. I don't know anything about them. I don't know. I know they're from St. Albans, and that's kind of it. That's the only real fact I know about them. So I shall be. It'll be interesting to find out a little bit more about them. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. We're going to go to the break a little bit early, please.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Man alive. What day is it? It's Wednesday, isn't it? Something like that. My back is still killing me. Don't worry about that, guys. It's better than it was yesterday. But we'll have some of that. What are we talking about? Well, anything you want, really. Kids films that aren't for kids at all. Well, kids films, they're too clever. And we've always liked a sly wink to the camera for the mums and dads. Put in two, I'll give you three cheeky asides to the camera for the mums and dads, right? Don't make the whole film basically an adult film. Inside Out was an adult film. It was a great film. Oh, it was a great film. Man Alive, it made me think. I was in pieces. I know a lot of people were. There were a lot of grown-ups of a certain age were in pieces, mourning lost youth, wasted chances, lost loves, and mental fragility. It's a great film if you're got mental illness or someone in your family has got it, right? It's not a film for six-year-olds. It's not exactly a laugh riot. And Zootropolis, it's had brilliant reviews, and I was really looking forward to it. But it was just so dull and so grown up and boring. It was like a boring grown-ups film, Daniel.
Hello.
Hello, Daniel.
Can we play the iPod roulette game, please?
Oh, have you got your iPod there?
Well, it's not an iPod. It's by Spotify.
Oh, Spotify. Hang on a second. Spotify is infinite, isn't it?
It's my favourite tracks on Spotify.
Oh, okay. How many tracks have you got favourited?
Let me have a look.
By the way, if
1,000...
Okay.
What?
I was just saying, if anyone wants to be a judge for this round of iPod roulette, 0844 499 1000 is the phone number to call. Otherwise, it'll be me that's judging, and that would... some people might say that was a fix.
No, you're not judging.
Sorry?
I don't want to lose out. If you're going to judge, you're going to...
Mate, you know. I'm a fair judge.
No, you're not.
How do you know, Daniel?
Because I listen to the programme.
Yeah, I'm a fair judge.
Of what?
I'm not going to cheat.
You cheat us everything.
What are you talking about? Where have you got this from?
About the program, and we're getting higher and higher.
I'm not a cheat.
You are a cheat,
mate. One thing, right? I fight for the underdog. I like to keep things fair. Okay. What was that?
It was sounds.
He's right. Fair play. That was sounds. 0844 499 1000. No one.
Stop. Hey, yeah, I'm on the phone at the minute.
Yeah, well, you might not be for much longer if you keep this cheek up, lad. Here we go. Answer that. We got a judge coming through. It's only boring Kyle, but never mind.
Hey, he sounds impartial. Let's go.
He's got an accent like you.
What's my accent? I ain't got an accent.
Oh, shh. Are you a real person?
I think so.
Okay.
That's quite... Okay. Am I a real person?
Yeah, we go. Are you?
Where's the judge?
Kyle?
Hello, Ian. You okay?
I'm good. You're going to be the judge tonight, yeah? Kyle? I guess Kyle's not going to be the judge tonight. Try the other caller. Maybe they want to do it. What happened there? Right, so, Daniel, you know the rules, yeah?
Yes.
It's going to be a long night tonight, guys. I've got a feeling.
What?
It's going to be a long night tonight.
Guys, I've got a feeling.
Yeah. What have you been smoking something?
I want to play the game.
I'm waiting for a judge. Do you know the rules of the game?
I know the rules of the game. Let's play the game.
Right, we've got
I've got some great tracks lined up waiting here.
Yeah.
And you're stalling, man.
Right, Kyle, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Right. Why does everyone... Did they legalise weed while I've been in the building? Because everyone sounds stoned, man. Right, OK, you know the rules. There are three rounds. You get one pass. You put your music player on to shuffle. You're cheating a little bit having Spotify. I'll still destroy you. You have to... whoever has the best track wins, right? Daniel, you go first.
OK, so we're just pressing play and...
Wait, so it's got to be on random, yeah?
Random. Hang on a minute. Random. And we just press play.
Well, I don't know how Spotify works. Give me this.
I just pressed play. Here we go.
Oh, is it on random?
Hang on, what?
Is it on random?
Yes, it's on random.
Beautiful. Okay.
Isn't that the game we're playing? We play it on random.
Yeah, but I was I was just trying to get you to. Oh, all right, do it. Go on.
Can you hear it?
No. What is it?
Hang on. Hang on.
Oh, for crying out!
There we go.
Oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. This is one of his favourites on Spotify. What is that song, Daniel? It sounds awful.
What
is that song, Daniel? It sounds awful.
This is Totally Men.
Totally Men?
Totally Men.
Toothbury Men?
Toothbury Men.
Two Sweet Men?
No, with an S, it's got an accent of the E.
Well, do it in an accent then.
What?
Do it in an accent then.
Toothbury Men.
Oh, yeah, Toothbury Men.
By Stroh.
Anyway, either way, it's rubbish. Right, you ready for mine?
Alright, hang on.
No, you don't have to do anything. I do it.
Go on, then.
You ready? Here we go. Suck it to me. Floating in the river with a saturated liver, and I wish I could forgive her, but I do believe she's living it when she told me to forget it, and I bet you won't forget it when you find me in the morning, wet and drown. Suddenly the monkeys and going down, buddy. Now,
that's not bad. Actually.
Yeah, that's not bad. The monkey's going down. We go to our celebrity judge, Kyle. Kyle, who wins? Tiswi Mia or the monkeys with going down? Kyle, it's over to you.
Well, I'm torn because the other guy is sounds northern like me.
Yeah,
however,
he sounds like yes.
I am northern. I'm from Hull, the furthest northern, apart from the other places.
Yeah, Hull.
Oh, isn't it just now all northern people seem to be quite dull?
Oh, what? No, all right.
Sorry?
I was going to give you the point, Ian,
Thank you.
I didn't understand a word he said.
Yep.
What?
Yep. Thank you. Right, so it's 1-0. Right, I go first on this one. Blimey, it's like... That's that. I'm making this hard work. Oh, no, my iPod has gone all funny. Hang on a second. Right, let me get... Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I mean... look at all the lonely people. Look at all the lonely... It's Eleanor Rigby, but... Okay. It's Eleanor... Yeah, OK. But notice it's a different version. It's not the Beatles version. It's the version from the Give My Regards to Broad Street soundtrack. Boom! And I'm sticking with that. Beat that, Daniel!
All right. It's the Kings of Leon. Anna, I'm sorry.
Why would you favourite the Kings of Leon? Kyle, it's over to you. The Kings of Leon and one of their boring songs about having fire sex, or Paul McCartney covering himself with Eleanor Rigby.
Now I'm torn now, because is it the first one of two wins?
Well, yes.
Is that... Well, but you're right. Now, you know, I'm a massive Beatles fan, and especially I have the album.
It's a good album.
But...
Yes?
But... I can't give it to you because I want the game to go to its natural conclusion.
Well,
and it kills me to say it.
Well,
it's got to be Darren.
You can't...
You
can't just do that because you want the game to carry on.
You can. He's the judge. In this situation, he's the judge. And the judge's rule rules, obviously.
Okay. Right. So, so you get that. So it's 1-0. So it's the final round. Daniel, over to you.
Yes.
You've still got your pass.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to press skip.
Hang on a minute. All right, so what's coming up?
Not this one.
No, well, tell us what it is, and then before you pass on it.
It's this one. This is the best one, yes.
Well, hang on a minute. You can't cry it out loud.
What?
Have you passed?
No, I haven't passed. This is what I'm going with.
Oh, Divine Comedy.
You know what it is?
The Divine Comedy, National Express. Good song. Good song.
It's a fantastic song.
Right, OK. I'm going to go.
No, let's just listen to a bit of this
well, no,
for a little
we,
while.
I'll be honest, we can't really hear it.
What?
Right, here comes my one. Here we go. You ready? On shuffle and play. Turn it off.
Yeah.
Not just any Wipeout guys. It's the Fat Boys and the Beach Boys. But do you know what? Am I going to play this or pass this? I'm going to pass. I'm using my pass. Let's see where we go. Are you ready? Oh, game over, guys. Game over. You ready?
Go on.
Here it comes. Get ready for the catchy intro. Do, 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 bam.
This is all.
Where the local market used to stand. Before that, they put up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local pally. He's having a fit. Sorry? I come dancing. Sorry, Daniel?
What was that?
That was the Kinks, mate. Come Dancing. 1986 went to number 4 in the charts.
Well, listen to this.
Kyle. It's between whatever boring song Daniel had or Come Dancing by the Kinks.
Very difficult, Ian. Very difficult. Massive Divine Comedy fan. Seen him a few times. However, you would have won it straight off with the Beach Boys remix.
But go on.
No, you've still won it, mate, with the Kinks because they're amazing. Yeah. They're amazing.
What's he doing now? We're not doing another round, Daniel. It's finished. Daniel?
Yes?
It's finished, mate. Turn your computer off. Go to bed. Close down your Twitter account. It's all over, buddy. Close your Twitter account down. It's finished. Bye, Daniel.
This is what you could have.
Thank you, Carl. Although you should have really let me win when I won it properly. That was cheating.
Well, no, I was extending the...
There we go. 0844-499-1000 is the phone number. We'll start the show. Let's start the show after this.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, that was better than I imagined. Not the game of iPod roulette. That was an embarrassment for anybody involved in broadcasting. Oh, man alive. Evening, Ian Lee, Talk Radio here, Monday to Friday, 10 to 1. I should tell you, by the way, dear listener, we have a podcast. There's a daily podcast. And you can go to iTunes. You type in Ian Lee, Talk Radio. It pops up, doing very nicely on the charts. Kind of bounces between about number 10 and number 33, which I'm very happy with. You can get it on all your other usual podcast providers as well. If you want to take part in the show, don't bother texting in. I don't like texts. I've got a text machine in front of me, but I don't really like it. So don't bother with that. You can tweet me at Ian Lee. It's better, though, guys. It's much better for everybody concerned if you use the telephone to call 0844 499 1000. We'll give you a call back, so don't worry about that. Geeky Girl's on the line. Good evening, Geeky Girl.
Hello, good evening, Ian.
You're very breathy today. Where have you been running upstairs?
Oh, well, I have 4 flights. I just got in.
Really?
Yeah, I just got in. I've been out this evening, so I'm afraid I've only just tuned into your show.
You haven't missed anything. It's been a very poor start to the show.
Oh, wonderful. How about we turn that frown upside down or whatever? Yeah. Should we work some magic here?
Let's work some radio magic, guys.
Yeah.
Radio magic.
I have to blame you for something.
Not mine. Honestly, you need to get a DNA and then speak to my solicitor.
Well, hold on. You see, I think maybe I can blame you. I don't know, but what the hell was the 70s?
Sorry?
I've just been to see the most...
What the hell was the 70s?
Awful film, yeah, and I'm going to blame the 70s.
Was it High Rise?
No.
Oh, go on then. What was it?
I can describe it, and then you can tell me what it was called.
Okay, fine. Yes, go on.
I think it was a famous one. So it starts off, they're in a country house.
Yes.
little girl in a red coat, she drowns herself.
Okay.
And then the father, he keeps looking at slides of church buildings.
Of course he does, yes.
And he cuts his finger and it bleeds on the slide. Then there's all these shots of him in Venice and his wife in Venice.
Right.
Then there's this blind elderly lady who feels the face of the mum in the toilets in Venice.
Right.
And says she can see the dead daughter.
Of course she can.
By feeling her face. And there's a grumpy sister.
I feel like I'm living this film in real time.
Oh, hold on. I'll speed it up. I'll give you the synopsis. Sorry,
Well, you went to see this at the pictures?
No, a little local place where they show films and you can have drinks and things.
A cinema?
No, like a little club, a little cafe club kind of place.
And they showed a weird film with a blind woman touching women up in toilets?
Well, it gets even worse. That blind woman was groaning and moaning. She was essentially massaging her chest while she was channeling this dead kid. And then the bloke didn't realise he was psychic. And then he was running down lots of alleyways in Venice. And the mum had to go back to England and flew back. And then
Jack Bauer's dad in it? Sutherland, Donald Sutherland.
Oh yeah. And then he's chasing
and Julie, what's her name? I know the film. Don't Look Now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the ending. What? Who came up with that and why?
Julie Christie. That's it. Julie Christie.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't know that. I've had loads of people tweeting me. I've not seen it. It sounds awesome. Isn't, apparently there's a cracking rumpy pumpy scene, says Rob.
Well, it looked like he was missing, if I might be blunt.
Oh. What, was he blunt? Or was he sharp?
Well, I don't know, but I think I'm just...
Would you eat it if it fell into a sink?
Oh, is that tonight's phone-in?
Unfortunately, that was the tale of yesterday's.
That was, Ed. Ed, yes. And you had different standards, didn't you, with the sausages in the sink?
So this is like one of those cinema clubs, film clubs that they have.
Well,
Was it just around a mate's house?
It's a cheaper evening out, really nice supper and a movie.
Do they have... Here's the question. Do they have the legal right to show those films? Because you know what, at the beginning of the films, I don't know if it says it now, but it used to say, you may not show this film on coaches, in prisons, in schools, or in any public viewing.
Oh, well, maybe it's not a public viewing if it's a club. Is that a bit hand-wavy?
Well, if they're selling tickets, then it's a public...
No, not selling tickets. You pay for the meal and you can watch the film.
We got a message from Ian on Twitter. Apologies, as I feel I ask this a lot, but I have one question. What's going on? Ian, I've got literally no idea. I've got a blinding headache. Do you know what, Geeky Girl? I've got a bit of a cob on today, if I'm honest.
Oh, no.
We were supposed to be interviewing Graham Nash earlier on. You know Graham Nash, of course.
Yes, I saw you tweeting about that. You were nervous.
Very nervous. Interviewing the Graham Nash from the Hollies, Crosby, Stills and Nash. I love Crosby, Stills and Nash, and I like the Hollies a lot too as well, but I prefer Crosby, Stills and Nash, right?
Mm.
He's got a new album out that's actually brilliant, right?
Oh.
Yeah, it is brilliant. Very melancholy. It sounds like a man saying goodbye to the world, right? But it's a really good album, really strong album. And I've been looking forward to this for the last 2 weeks. Booked at 6 o'clock, right? Kath booked him for 6 o'clock, right? So I had to, I had the kids today, so I had to leave them with their grandparents, and my youngest was very upset, and I had to leave ridiculously early, so I didn't get a chance for a doze, and I had to leave the kids, and I had to pay the congestion charge, because I drove into London earlier, so I had to be so London-centric. And I got here on time, got here about 20 minutes before 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Very good.
Kath rocks up at 6:15, 15 minutes after we're supposed to be starting the interview, and she went, I'm so sorry, I haven't got a phone number for him. I went, sorry. She goes, yeah, I made a big mistake... And I forgot to get the phone number. So I've booked the interview and I've not got a phone number for him. So the Graham Nash interview never flipping happened.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yep.
You were so excited.
Yep. I was absolutely gutted. Gutted. Can you believe that, Rosie?
This is Kath we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Dear.
Yeah, I know. She dropped the ball. She balls up. I managed to get her. It's like we lived in East Germany, right? And I managed to smuggle her out of East... Which was the good one and which was the bad Germany?
Well, we were in with the West.
Okay, right. Oh, yeah. But there's a question mark hanging over that geeky girl. Yeah. So, okay.
Well.
It's like we were in East Germany, right? And I had got a pass to go out for the day, and I put her in the boot of my car and smuggled her out. BBC Three Counties Radio being East Germany, Talk Radio being West Germany, the decadent.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
West, right, yeah. You're, they're the Stasi in this.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
So they're the Stasi, right? And I brought her out, and she said, oh, me do... I'm trying to do a German accent, but it's sounding racist. Oh, I'm from Germany. I'm from Germany. I can't do a German accent.
Wow.
I'm from Germany.
It's Japan, isn't it?
Yes, Japanese German.
No. I'm genuinely... What is this? I'm coming...
You need German at school, Ian.
Yeah, das ist gut. Das ist gut, yeah. There. I'm coming with you, Ian, and I'm going to make sure I do all the good things for you. And I'll be getting the guests. I'll be getting the Graham Nash from the Crosby, Stills Nash for you.
Right? Oh.
So she's made all these promises, and she's not been able to deliver the promises.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, I bet she feels awful.
Good.
I bet she's laughing.
Do you know what? I bet she's doing... Oh, I'm sorry, mate. Yeah, well, I've left a broken-hearted child. I've had to pay £11 for the congestion charge. I've had to sit around for 4 hours being laughed at by the Talk Sport guys because they think I'm a wimp.
Are you tripping on Nurofen?
No, I've just taken some as I've been talking to you, so it's going to kick in a bit.
Okay. Yeah, that might help.
So no Graham... Nash.
Doesn't How about Ray Davis instead?
What about what?
Ray Davis or Dave Davis?
Dave Davis is coming on. Ray might come on, but Dave is definitely coming on at some point in the future.
Oh, great. I've got some questions you can ask him.
What about? Oh, not like that.
No. Well, I don't know, because he had a stroke, so he might not remember, but...
About eating a dead man's...
Oh, the dead man's penis was last night's show. Oh. I don't want to touch that again.
Draw a line, okay.
Draw a line around it and then remove it. But leave that mark there so that the police, when they do their investigations, they'll know exactly where Who do they still... Do they actually... Has anyone, if anyone has ever drawn a chalk drawing around a body of any kind, human or animal, or vegetable, or mineral, then 0844-499-1000. Do they really do that? Why would they do that?
Oh, God. What programme was it where they drew a chalk line around a squirrel?
What?
It's like a dead squirrel. I don't know if it was The Simpsons or something like that.
No. But why do they do that? Why
it was dead, wasn't it?
Why would they draw around a dead man? Or woman?
Well, in case it moved.
Wasn't the chalk the next move up? Didn't they used to use, like, straight bits of masking tape and have trouble going around the corners and curves?
But why would they do that? Why would anyone need to know that?
Like Columbo, didn't they need to know how they died and... to find who did it.
You don't know how someone died because they got chalk... Or they were killed by chalk poisoning. That's what done it. What did you call in for, Rosie?
God, not... Oh, yes, did you go swimming today?
No. No. I was going to, but my back was so bad that we're going to go tomorrow. I'm kind of hoping that it eases up a bit so I can go tomorrow. No, instead we went and saw the awful Zootropolis.
Oh, yeah, you should have gone swimming. Oh, this is the first time I've been swimming for a year.
Yeah. You don't really go swimming with a 6 and a 4-year-old. You spend a lot of time puffing up their armbands.
Oh, no, I did once, yeah.
We spend a lot of time in the hot tub as well. They love the hot tub.
Ooh,
jacuzzi
my
special.
Doesn't have one of those.
Oh, well, they do where I go because I'm posh. I'm very, very posh. Hey, I did something in the cinema, and this is verboten. This is actually illegal in cinemas, right? And you can get chucked out for this. I know people who've been chucked out for it.
Oh.
I took my own food in.
Oh, I'm always doing that.
You're not allowed to. They can chuck you out for that.
You have to hide it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I hid it in a rucksack, and I put their coats over it. In case they looked in it, I put their coats over it. And I felt really... We bought popcorn, right? But then he said, do you want any drinks with that? I went, no. Do you want anything else with that?
Thirsty.
Anything else with that? No. I reckon there's popcorn. And the boy's going, but we're hungry, Daddy. I said, no, popcorn will be enough. The popcorn will be enough. It was 3D as well. 3D's well. 3D's fun with kids. 3D is fun with kids for the first 5 minutes because all the kids in the cinema start reaching out in front of them to try and grab stuff.
That's sweet.
But they're not paying for the privilege of 3D, which I was, because it's well expensive.
Well, What about 4D? Have you seen that?
Yeah, 4D is spray, isn't it?
Bit of water, bit of air, puff, puff, £100, please.
Yeah, the fourth dimension is scent and water being sprayed on you.
Anybody knows the fourth dimension is
for £100. Did you say £100, geeky girl?
Well, I'm just exaggerating. I don't know how much it is, but it's expensive, 4D.
Yeah. God, I thought £7 was expensive.
£7? Where do you live? The north?
Hemel. Well, near Hemel.
Wow.
Not that near, but nearish. That's the nearest cinema to me.
That is a cheap cinema.
Really? God, I'm tight wood, I'm afraid. I just don't have any money.
Oh, it's fair enough. I just watched someone dying with poster paint coming out of their body instead of blood.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. I think that on that bombshell, we can say thank you very much, Geeky Girl. Thank you, Rosie. I'm not sure we got to either of their points. I don't think we got to either of their points. It doesn't matter. That's kind of the way it goes. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you can do. Colin Blunstone from the Zombies is coming on in about half an hour's time. I was dead nervous about John Sebastian. I was really nervous about Graham Nash, but then that didn't happen. So that was kind of wasted energy. But I know so little about the Zombies, it's either going to be a really awkward interview or it's going to be one of the best darn interviews you've ever heard in your life. If you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome to 0844 499 1000. You can tweet me at Ian Lee. This is Ian Lee and you're listening to Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Evening, Ian Lee, Talk Radio. If you want to give us a call, I suggest doing it kind of sort of now-ish, because the next 30 minutes are going to be free. After midnight, we seem to have slipped into this routine of taking calls straight to air. I don't know if I'm going to keep doing that, but let's just see how we get on for the moment, shall we? Colin Blunstone from The Zombies on at 11:30. But if you want to give us a call, now would be an excellent time. 0844 499 1000. Don't worry about the cost, because we call you back. Here's the news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
He has made a covenant with the night, and with the darkness he is in agreement.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
That, dear listener, is, I don't quite know what that is, dear listener, if I'm completely honest with you. I don't quite know. Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. I suspect it's going to be a quiet night tonight. What a bizarre first hour of the show, and I've done some bizarre phone-ins, but that was odd, if I'm completely honest. That was a little bit, weird. I suspect it will be a quiet one tonight. I suspect we're getting a touch of the Julias, the Julia Hartley Brewers. No phone calls whatsoever. But I'm not so shouty as her. I don't know if she shouts in the radio, if it's just in the office. I don't know. I'll have to tune in one day and listen to it. But maybe you could do that. Sarah, you've not put your phone down properly. Whoever Sarah might be, you've not put your phone down properly. So we can't call you back, which is, if I'm completely honest. Hey! There's a fella with a bionic penis, and I don't mean Vernon Kay. Poor old Vernon. Vernon, come and have a look at me in my swimsuit. What, not you again? Yeah, go on, it'll be fine. This time it's different. Okay. Oh, blimey. I like Vernon. Vernon used to call me when I was at another radio, when I was at LBC, used to call me as Mark in the Park. Bless him, poor old sausage. I hope they sort it all out. No, this man's got a £70,000 bionic penis, and there's a picture of it. It's a drawing. It's a droopy drawing. Now, when it says... it's not... Technically, I don't think it's actually bionic, because bionic, I imagine bionic to mean an eye that you can see through for, like, X-ray. Steve Austin had an X-ray eye, didn't he? I don't know if this gentleman has. But his name is Mohammed Abad. Mohammed Abad reckons he has plenty to offer potential partners after being fitted with his £70,000, 8-inch, is that all, bionic penis. That was my nickname at school. But the lonely security guard... Ian, note, let me just write this. I've got to write down a little note to myself, sorry. Before laughing at a story, read the whole story. Okay. But the lonely security guard who lost his virginity this year, age 44, has been unlucky in his quest for love. He said he has joined several online dating sites with no success. Well, he's had success once. I've joined Match.com and an Asian dating site. I'm all, you know, you get these sites. It's like meet Asians, meet blacks, meet whites, meet Christians, meet you get these. I'm all up for that because we've all got a type, haven't we? We've got a type. I know what my type is, and there is a specific type. And so some people get pretend angry about it's racist. It's racist that there are Asian dating sites and Muslim dating sites. It's racist. What about white people? What about white Christians? Well, there are white Christian sites as well. There's sites for everyone, and it's brilliant. It's brilliant, because we've all got a type. Mohammed said, I won't do the voice. I'm very lonely, and I would love to find someone. So far, I've had no feedback. Not one date. I'd be eternally grateful if someone helped me find... Oh, this is heartbreaking. I wonder if I've got any sad music. Hang on a minute. Let's get some sad music to... I can make this a little bit more powerful. Where is it? Hang on a second. Here's some sad music. Let's try this. Here we go. Computer, play. Sad music for Mohammed's story. Okay. No. That's not it. We've got some sad music. Hang on. Bring it. Probably not appropriate. There we go. Mohammed, I won't go into the details of how he lost his manhood. Because it's horrible. It was a road accident. It was originally fitted with a makeshift fleshy tube that had no sensation.
Story of my life.
But in 2012, he had life-changing surgery that gave him a bionic replacement made of nerves and skin from his arm. He says, I've got a lot to give. 8 inches. The ultimate goal is to have 2 kids, but I need to find somebody first. Oh, this is genuinely heartbreaking. Mohammed, who lives in Edinburgh, had full sex for the first time this year after turning to escort Charlotte Rose, 35. She waived the usual £160 an hour fee after learning how he split from his wife before his penis was fully functional. Mohammed revealed, and now you're about to lose sympathy for him. Mohammed revealed he still regretted waiting until the wedding night before telling his bride he could not consummate their marriage. Oh, now that is out of order. That is out of order. That is naughty. He said, I broke down and told her. She was obviously upset and hurt, but accepted me the way I was. But in the end, there is only so much a person can take, or not take, Mohammed, as the case may be. Mohammed has also told how he was worried about his encounter with Charlotte, as she was initially silent when she saw his penis. But then she told him, it's incredible. He revealed, I lay there with a big cheesy grin on my face. I'm glad those last 3 words were there. It's a work of art. They've thought about it and fashioned it. I have sensation now. It can stay up for days. And now we're going to find out how it works. Are you listening at home? The bionic penis has been fitted with two tubes which fill with liquid from his stomach when he presses a button in his testicles. Another button drains the penis so it deflates. I can't read anymore. I'm worried about going to Rob on the back of Muhammad. Rob?
Hello!
Are you going to treat that story with the sensitivity that chasing cars by Snow Patrol suggests it should have?
There's something in common there with that story, and I don't know what the link is, though. I'm just trying to think. Snow Patrol, a man with a penis. No. Any ideas?
Hey, the music's chasing cars, and he lost it in a car accident. He shouldn't have been chasing cars, although some of those cars are so darn sexy. Hey, there's a thing! What's the word, Catherine, that I learnt tonight for people who want to summon up demons and ghosts so they can have sex with them? It's, what's
weirdos.
What's the word, Catherine? No. It's,
the people on the bus.
Spectrophiles.
Nice.
Spectrophiles. We're going to try...
You don't see that on X-Files, do you?
We're going to try and get some spectrophiles on the air.
Good luck with that.
Someone's tweeted, would you eat a bionic penis if you dropped it in the sink? Come on now. Come on now. Hey, well, what can I do for you? Everyone's been so... Stop it.
I rig it up because Mum and Dad are fighting. Are you and Catherine upset?
I'm furious with her.
Right, I can make this up to you.
Yeah, go on, mate.
You're not going to believe who I've just bumped into at the local spa.
Go on, who?
Graham William Nash.
You've got Graham... You've met Graham Nash?
Graham, he's here. He's going to sing for you.
Oh, brilliant. This makes up for Kath completely ballsing up the interview that I've been looking forward to, set my heart on, made me come in early, made me leave one of my children at home crying, and now we've got Graham Nash. That's awesome.
So he's going to say, can I clean back the can of Bash Shandy I've had to bribe him with, or is that...
I'm afraid that's a donation to the cause. Thank you.
All right, he's going to do something from Nash, Young and Crosby. Here we go. Hang on. Here we go. Right, can you hear him?
Yes, can. Very exciting.
Here we go. Boobs! I love boobs!
Yeah! Oh, okie dokie. For a second, I believed him. There was no need to. 0844 499 1000. Donna!
Hello.
Hello, Donna.
Hello.
Hello, Donna.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Hi there, Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
Right. Well, I'm not phoning about...
Muhammad Abed?
Penises.
No, okay. That's a shame.
No. Nothing like that. No, it was more sort of about children's films I was phoning in about.
Well, okay. It's kind of a quantum leap, but we can do that. Yeah, go on.
Something a bit...
Turn your radio off.
I was thinking the Lorax. Have you seen the Lorax?
Oh, do you know what? You know Dr. Seuss?
Yeah.
He's boring. The Cat in the Hat was a bit of a... They're boring. It's just boring writing. He's not a real doctor.
I know. It's a bit... Not very good, is it, really?
No,
but the Lorax kind of touched me, really, I thought, the film. Anyway...
Was he working for the BBC? Turn your radio off, Donna!
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
Wait there. Oh, wait there. Got it there. I've never phoned in before, so
I could tell.
This is the first time.
I'm pleased. You have. Honestly, this Zootropolis today. Well, one of my boys liked it, but the youngest one said, "Daddy, can we go home?" Halfway through it, it was so dull. It was just full of
bad.
It was an adult film. They hadn't made it for kids.
Oh.
What's just wrong?
No, I've seen it advertised, but I've not gone and seen it. My daughter's 11, so that's all I get to see is all these kids' films. So I went to see Batman versus Superman, and I thought that was a bit of a letdown, really. It was a bit...
You took an 11-year-old to see Batman versus Superman?
Yeah,
is it not a bit violent?
It was a bit, yeah. But she enjoyed it anyway.
It's had terrible reviews, that film, but I'd still quite like to see it. I might wait till it comes out on Hooky DVD.
Yeah, you can try that one.
And I'll go down to the local club.
But it's not like the Batman. You know, the Batman, I prefer the really old Batman from the 60s, but this one is kind of like a robot.
Hang on a second.
And clumpy ears.
Hang on. Hang on. Catherine, get Adam West on the show. Yeah. That's who we're going to get. Yeah. That's who we're going to get. West. We will have, I guarantee, in the next couple of weeks, we are going to have Adam West on this show. That's what we're going to do.
He gives a brilliant interview,
Adam West. He gives a brilliant interview. Right, we'll have him on. That's a good suggestion, Donna.
Well,
thank you. You've never called in before and you've already suggested a guest for us to book. That's brilliant.
Well, that's good. You thought of that more than
Well, yeah, but you planted the seed, unlike Muhammad Abed.
Yeah, but anyway, I was disappointed with Batman's suit, that's all.
Yeah. The thing is, Batman's not a superhero, because he's got no superpowers. All he is a rich guy with gadgets.
Yeah.
So if Batman and Superman did actually have a fight, Superman would destroy him.
And he doesn't even fix all these gadgets himself. He gets somebody else to do it all for him.
Gets Alfred to do it, doesn't he?
Yeah. He does it all. Yeah. Does all the work.
I'm not having that, actually. I'm not having any of that.
Yeah, and disappointing ending as well in that.
Well, don't tell us. Don't give us a spoiler.
No, I won't spoil it. I won't spoil it for everyone.
All right, Donna. Well, listen, for a first call, that was pretty good.
Oh, well, thank you.
You do it again, won't you?
Oh, well, I might phone in again then sometime.
Cheers, my dears. Have a good night.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the show, by the way. I've been listening from the start.
Oh, blimey. Well, we're getting there. We're still warming up. I'm on about 45% power at the moment. You wait till we get flying.
Oh, right, OK.
Cheers, my dears. Ta-ta. 0844-499-1000.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yeah. 0844-499-1000. Colin Blunstone from The Zombies coming on soon. Very, very excited. Very excited. Turns out they've written one of my favourite songs of all time, and I hadn't heard it until about 3 weeks ago. Yeah, we'll get Adam West on. That's what we'll do. Yeah, that's what we'll do. Hey, you know sport is rubbish, right? And I don't really do sport because it's rubbish. And every time I walk through, I have to walk through the Talk Sport offices to get to the Talk Radio cupboard. And they either get their wangers out and wave them at me, or they spit at me, or they make me do something humiliating. Right, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Right, but there's a brilliant tennis story in the papers. Did you know, dear listener? Men and women have different balls when it comes to tennis. They've got different balls. I'd never heard this. Why is this? This is like when... do you remember when horse racing, about 20 years ago, turns out horse racing was fixed. Oh, really? Oh, right. Yeah. Never would have guessed. Right. But this is surely as big a scandal as that. This is outrageous. Simon says, how come you don't have beds playing when talking to callers? It sounds strange to happen. Because I haven't got... I tell you why, Simon. Because I haven't got the direct control over the volume. I'm having to do it all through my Mac. And controlling the volume through my Mac is tricky. I haven't got a fader. I'm getting a fader in a few weeks. And boy, when I get a fader, it's going to be bed city. We're going to be... it's going to be the bed shop. And it's going to be beds everywhere. Do you trust me? As soon as this number four turns into a fader that I can use, oh, it's going to be beds everywhere. Imagine, it's going to be beds everywhere. Oh, wait, 444-499-1000. Andy Murray has served up a little-known fact during an on-court outburst that women's tennis balls are different to the ones used by male players. This is amazing. This is genuinely, absolutely amazing. Why did we not know about this? Let's read on. It turns out that they're less fuzzy, which makes them faster. So hang on, who's the fuzzies? I think women's are less fuzzy, so they go faster. Murray, 28 years old. I'm Andy Murray and I'm 28 years old. Thanks for my birthday card, Mum. You didn't open the birthday card fast enough! Oh, sorry about that, Mum. He's 28. He looks older than me and I'm ancient. Murray, 28, let the cat out of the bag during a heated exchange with an umpire during the Miami Open. 0844-499-1000. The leftover ball from a women's match was plucked from a flower bed by an unsuspecting ball boy. And let's all just take a moment to acknowledge the unsung heroes of tennis, the ball boys and indeed the ball girls. They say that every year, towards the end of the first week of Wimbledon, when it's getting even more boring, they'll do a big double-page spread on the unsung heroes of tennis, the ball boys and the ball girls. They're sung all the flipping time. Are they actually children? Or, because that those working conditions look pretty tough. You try staying crouched down with on one knee for, I mean, how long does a tennis match go on for? Like 5 hours. And it can get really hot, right? So imagine it's 100 degrees. You're crouched down on one knee. You're in centre court. There are thousands of people watching you there. Millions of people watching you worldwide. That is a lot of stress to put on a young person. They have to be tiny actors, don't they? The leftover ball from a women's match was plucked from a flower bed by an unsuspecting ball boy and became mixed up with the balls being used in Murray's game. As soon as he noticed, that's how sad he is, he noticed that they're different. The world number two confronted umpire Mohamed Layane, saying angrily, "That's unbelievable. That's one of the women's balls. I could have just hit a shot with that." I find this amazing. Although the rogue ball was removed, Murray lost the game. He then had another go at Mr. Lahiani, saying, "It's not right. Do you know how different the balls are?" He later continued, "It's unacceptable to have one of those balls in there." What does that even... Why? If there's anybody who likes tennis, and I'm guessing you don't, I'm guessing like me, you don't like sports. That's why you're not listening to Goldstein on Talk Sport. Can you explain why the hell there are different balls in tennis? 0844 499 1000. The row brought to light the curious anomaly that some tennis tournaments use balls with slightly different coatings for men's and women's matches. Rules laid down by the International Tennis Federation, boring, state all tennis balls must be the same diameter and weight. However, the makeup of the outer coating... it's getting bored. Getting bored. Just tell me, why has it got different tennis balls? It doesn't seem right. Anyway, he got beaten, and he was blaming it on women's balls. That'll learn him. Hey, speaking of learning things, have you seen who was in B&Q the other day? Do we remember what B&Q stands for, guys? I told you the other day. Do you remember? Block and Quail. How do I know that? Because one New Year's Eve, I staggered home. I was at my mum's. I was probably about 21. I staggered home to my mum's and turned on, I think, probably old talk radio. Might have been, obviously. And they, I remember them saying that. They were having like a rolling quiz. And that was one of the questions. And it stuck with me. It's the only thing I remember of that night is that B&Q stands for Block and Quail. He's only just moved to England, but Brad Pitt is already embracing British traditions. Now, there's a picture of him at the store in West London, right? He looks more like John Ronson, if I'm completely honest, in this picture, who's also coming on the show soon, guys. Really? Oh, yes. He looks more like John Ronson than Brad Pitt. He's got the peak cap on and the glasses. The peak cap and the glasses. The disguise. The American actor, that's what he does, right? Was spotted shopping at DIY store B&Q on Monday, apparently preparing to spend the bank holiday doing a touch of spring cleaning. Well, it doesn't say which one it was. Pitt, 52. Doesn't he look good for it, guys? Doesn't he look good for 52? Was casually dressed in a black coat and flat cap. He left shoppers amazed as he visited a branch in West London with two of his six children, with wife, actress Angelina. Well, hang on a minute. Surely that's more of a story, isn't it? Angelina Jolie, who's kissed me. That's true. And so she said, she thought I was funny, and she kissed me. Okay, that's fine. Surely that's more of a story. Angelina Jolie spotted in B&Q. Here we go. And this person should get the sack. Somebody should get the sack. A B&Q worker shared a picture of his trip on Twitter, Sack him. Get him on straight away if you can. Give him a call straight back. Get him on straight away. You can't go around taking pictures of customers and things like that. You can't do that. That's inappropriate behaviour. It's inappropriate behaviour, Barry.
What is this?
Sorry, I assumed you were listening and that's why you called in.
I was speaking to your operative, so I missed that last bit.
Right. Well, what? Brad Pitt was spotted.
Yeah.
In Block and Quail.
Yeah. Oh, we're being cute.
Yeah, well done, thank you.
What was he buying? Because we've got some lovely garden furniture there. I expect he could do with a sign at a barbecue, maybe.
I don't know. It doesn't say what he was buying.
Some hooks.
The worker who...
Lovely screws.
Well, he's got Angelina Jolie.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Hey! What have you called in for, Baz?
Where do you get off slagging off Wimbledon?
Sorry?
Where do you get off slagging off Wimbledon?
Sorry?
Where do you...
You don't need to. What do you mean? What's your beef?
Oh, don't like tennis.
No.
Don't like sport.
No.
What do you like?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
What made this country
tennis.
Wonderful.
Tennis made this country wonderful.
Still speaking.
You daft old sausage.
Wimbledon is one of the main tenets of cultural...
It's tennis. It's tennis.
Tennis. We went there last year.
Yes.
It's a wonderful day out. My Margaret and I, for many years, have tried to go to Wimbledon. And we went there and we had a bit of champagne.
Oh, yeah.
We had strawberries, I give her. She had about 3 punnets of strawberries.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we thought, you can see what's going to happen.
I've got
feeling. With the fizzy champagne, and you know the fruit, it will break down in the colon. There was a pause. Andy Murray, quiet please, and she blew off in centre court.
Is this really what we've sung to?
She apple tarted, and we were just sat behind Cliff Richards. You know, in the hurry, tried to lead an impromptu sing-along, but there was no disguising the guff. And really, I said to her, after all these years of trying to get a ticket,
yeah,
you've let me down. And what was worse, she went, you know, listen to this, too good to miss, you know, and these people are top athletes. They don't need to hear that, do they? But that aside, it's a wonderful competition. So that's Wimbledon. So that's a warning. Anyone is going. Go easy on the champagne and fruit.
Stop it.
Oh, dear. Lovely speaking to you. No.
Oh, dear.
Late Night Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Otto Preminger presents... Bunny Lake is missing. What suspense? Laurence Olivier is immense.
I just want to find one simple thing. One small, simple proof that Bunny Lake exists.
Come on, Sam!
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah. The zombies are there.
That's us.
That's me.
That's him.
That's he.
Carol Linley is keen as a knife.
Care delay will give you the time of your life.
Come on, Sam!
Come on, Sam, for the show.
The clock will tell you when to go. While the show's on, can you get in?
No! Come on, Sam!
Please come on time.
There is kind of a reason for me playing that. I know to you it means nothing. I'm hoping to my next guest it means something. Otherwise, it's just a very odd, uncomfortable minute. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Zombies and from various other musical factions, Mr. Colin Blunstone. Good evening, Colin.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. I'm really excited to talk to you. I've got that right. That's the film Bunny... That's a trailer for the film Bunny Lake is Missing, which you guys did the soundtrack for.
We did three songs, I think, for that film. Yeah, with Laurence Olivier and Carol Lindley, yeah.
And how did that go? Was it fun? Was it a mess? Was it a nightmare? Because you read a lot about some of these films from the 60s, and there's not a lot of focus, and, you know, everybody's running around being crazy. And that's kind of what I imagine Bunny Lake being like.
Well, I mean, it probably was, but we were sort of filmed in isolation.
Right.
Our whole experience was just working with Otto Preminger, really. We didn't meet Laurence Olivier or Carol Lindley. Otto Preminger was certainly an experience. He was very dictatorial and extremely aggressive. And it was a real experience.
Now, listen, Colin, this is such a joy to talk to you. I'm a little bit embarrassed, right? I love 60s music. I'm a big fan of the Monkees and the Beach Boys and obviously the Beatles, and we had John Sebastian from the Loving Spoonful on last week, and we're getting Howard Kalin from the Turtles. The Zombies were kind of off my radar.
Right.
Apart from She's Not There, which is just one of the finest pop songs of all time, and, you know, they were off my radar. And about a month ago, a friend of mine in the States said, you know the album Odyssey and Oracle? I went, no. He said, oh, man, you've got to go and get that now. And I was like, well, OK, I'll check it out. Where has that been my whole life? It's incredible.
Well, that album is a bit of a mystery, really, because it was released, it was the last album from the Zombies. It was released in 1967 and was commercially a disaster. And then over a period of years, I can only think it's through word of mouth, but it started picking up sales. It now gets incredible reviews and accolades. Rolling Stone nominated it as one of the top 100 albums of all time, and yet that album has never really been a hit anywhere. Certainly it's never been a hit in the UK.
Yeah.
As I say, it's recorded in 1967, and it sells far more now than it ever did when it first came out. It's a strange story. One track on there, called Time of the Season, was a huge hit in America. Depending on what chart you go by, it was either number one or number three. Cashbox was number one. Billboard was number three. But it was never a hit here. However, it was a hit all around the world. It was probably the Zombies' biggest hit. And recently, Eminem sampled that track for one of the tracks on his latest album, which is very good for us in many ways, for credibility and, of course, financially.
I was going to ask, does that mean that sort of every 6 months or so a nice little check pops through the post?
Absolutely. Drinks are on me.
Isn't that funny a song from an album that is a masterpiece? I compare it. I was saying to someone it's like the British Forever Changes, you know, the Love album. It's got that kind of vibe about it.
I think it has, and we actually toured with Love about 5 or 6, 7 years ago.
Did you really?
It was a wonderful tour. It was in America, not here.
Yeah.
And I think that people did make that connection between the two albums, Forever Changes and Odyssey and Oracle. It was a great tour. It worked really well.
Does it? I'm genuinely embarrassed that it's been off my radar, because I thought I'd discovered all those great lost albums. Are you getting people like that? You know, and younger than me, I'm an old man. I'm 42. But are you getting people that are kind of discovering your music now, 50 years later?
Well, we are. I mean, it's really strange. We work mostly in America, I suppose, really. Well, we work in America more than anywhere else. And year on year, our audience is getting bigger and bigger. And also, what I think amazes people is the cross-section of ages that come to our concerts. I think most people expect when they come to our concerts that it'll just be people who were around in the 60s, but that's not the case at all. We have... you know, third to half of the audience are under 25.
Wow.
It's really extraordinary. And as you say, this album, Odyssey and Oracle, is sort of being discovered by people all the time.
I love the fact that it's spelt wrong as well.
I know. Those are the days.
How did that happen?
In those days, That's a painting that's on the front there.
Yeah.
And the artist showed a rough to the band before we went off on tour. And we said, yeah, that looks fine. When we came back, we realised he'd spelt it wrong. Went to the record company and said, oh, hold it. It's too late. It's at the printer. It's already been printed.
Oh, I love it.
What seemed like a complete disaster at the time has actually sort of added to the album's status, I think, because it's got this horrendous spelling mistake on it.
Do you feel, at the time, did you feel that you were kind of overlooked? Because, you know, She's Not There is one of the greatest pop songs of all time. That was your first single, wasn't it? And it must have been hard to kind of get traction after that. Did you feel, coming from St Albans, as you did, I think, the rock and roll mecca of the UK, and with all these other amazing bands kind of happening at the time, did you feel you were being left out a bit?
Well, I think what was difficult was we kind of started at the top, you know. I mean, I was only 18 when I sang She's Not There, and it was our first record, and it was a huge worldwide number one in most countries. And then we seemed to really slip from there. That was the difficult bit. Obviously, you have to accept any success that you get and be really grateful for it. But if I'd had a choice, I wish that She's Not There had come a little bit later, when we were a little bit more, when we understood the music business a bit better, because it just came a bit soon for us, I think. And of course, as soon as you've got one record, the record company is pushing for a follow-up, and we had to get a follow-up together within about 4 or 5 weeks of recording She's Not There, and it wasn't really strong. And then we just started to slip then, certainly in this country. Everything was 6 months behind in America, because our first record was released about 6 months after it was released here. So we fared a little bit better in America just because we were a little bit more experienced. But the strange thing is that last album, Odyssey and Oracle, in the end it was released after the band had split. We'd all finished. We'd gone off and started other projects, which is rather unfortunate. And from that album, our biggest hit, Time of the Season, was released, and that, again, went to number one in America. But, of course, there was no band. So, in a way, it was a bit of a sad story. It would have been great if we'd been around to promote and enjoy the success of the album. But
why did you split, Colin? Did you all just kind of go, this ain't happening, and this is just too much hard work, let's call it a day? Was it that kind of thing?
I don't think it was too much hard work. It was, but what you said to start with, I think we perceived ourselves as being really rather unsuccessful, and there didn't seem to be a lot of interest in the band, and it just seemed the natural thing to move on and get involved in new projects. And with the benefit of hindsight, I now realise that the Zombies always had a hit record in one country or another while they were together in the 60s. Unfortunately, there was no internet then. It was very hard to find out what was happening in your career. And we didn't realise at the time that we always had a hit record somewhere. We weren't particularly successful in this country, but we had success around the world.
Colin, listen, I've been listening to your latest album. I've got to pay the rent. Can I come back to you in a couple of minutes? We'll talk about the last album and tours and things. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, mate. I appreciate it. Colin Blunstone from The Zombies. We'll have more of Colin after this.
Late Night Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
That's a little bit abrupt. That's what the Zombies sound like now. The voice, Colin. is still in good nick, huh?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I'd like to think so anyway, you know. I'm certainly enjoying singing as much now as I ever have done, and I'm really surprised, very pleasantly surprised, to find myself still treading the boards in the autumn of my career, you know, as I am. The Zombies are more busy now than they've ever
been.
Well,
I was going to say, you're because I know that the Zombies do loads of shows. You go off as well with your own other band and do shows. I've been looking at your itinerary. You're incredibly busy. You're all over the place.
I know. I have my own solo band, and we're actually starting to tour in a couple of weeks' time. We'll do 2 or 3 weeks with the solo band, and then I'm back with the Zombies, and we're going to do a month in the States. We seem to go to America regularly, yeah, 3 times a year, and we've already been once, and we're going again in May, and then it's a lot of festivals over the summer, so it really keeps us busy.
Do you all get on? Are you all, like, really good friends? Or do you kind of go and do the gig and then you walk off stage different directions, see you tomorrow night?
No, I think we're pretty good mates. We rub along pretty well. I think you have to be, you know, because we're sort of cooped up together for hours and hours every day. So you have to get along pretty well. And we do. We absolutely do.
Is it true that when the Zombies split after Odyssey and Oracle, before you went off and did all your other solo projects and your other bands, that you became an insurance salesman?
Well, I worked in an insurance office. I really didn't know anything about insurance, so I couldn't really sell it. I mean, I think, to be absolutely honest, I was a clerk, you know.
Right.
And I think it did me a lot of good, because I was devastated when the Zombies finished, and I worked in this very, very busy insurance office. As I said, I didn't know much about insurance. It was all a bit of a mystery to me. But it kept me busy.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't dwell on the sadness of my first band ending, you know. So I think it did me a lot of good.
And did you think that was it? You would go into the office every morning and think, well, that pop career was fun. Right, let's get down to the real work now.
Well, I think so, yeah.
Wow.
I thought that was it, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And yeah, 50 years later, you're still doing it.
I know. It just goes to show you never know what's going to happen. Because, I mean, my life is a huge example of that. These surprises keep coming along, and the same way of playing live. Now, who would have thought when you make your first record at 18 that you'll still be going out on the road when you're 70 years old? I mean, it was unheard of.
Are you 70?
I'm 70.
That's not the voice on the album of a 70-year-old man, surely. Because
well,
it's incredible.
I'm afraid, yes. Yeah, it certainly is.
Isn't it funny as well? You look at all those bands from the 60s, and you were all kids. My real the symboliser of how little I've achieved in my life is George Harrison was 26 when the Beatles split up. You're all just boys, weren't you?
Well, that's absolutely true. I didn't even realise that he was only 26. But, we were kids, you know. As I said, I was 18 when I recorded She's Not There, and the band was only together for 3 years.
Wow.
Professionally, from 64 to 67.
Wow.
But at the time, when you're young, that seemed like a lifetime.
Yeah.
Looking back, of course, it's the blink of an eye.
That song we just played there is from Still Got That Hunger. That was last year, I think, that came out. Have you still got songs kind of bubbling away? I mean, if you had to go and do an album now, have you got kind of notepads full of songs and sketches and things?
Oh yeah, I mean, Rod and I, we write all the time, and I mean, that is our most recent album. It actually only came out this year.
Oh, was it this year? Okay,
yeah.
Right.
And that particular song is one that I wrote, so I was quite chuffed to hear you play that. Actually,
oh, it's brilliant. It's kind of timeless. You know, there's a horrible thing sometimes when bands from the 60s or 70s get back together and they try and make a current sound, and the album's dated before it's even hit the shelves, and that is it's kind of timeless.
Well, you know, we've always tried to record the kind of music that we love.
Yeah.
And then what we're thinking is, well, if we love it, hopefully other people will love it as well. And we've never looked at what's in the charts right now or how can we try and be commercial. We've never, ever done that in the 60s or now. We just try to write what appeals to us, and hopefully it does give it a timeless feel, because, you know, it is genuine music written and recorded with a lot of love and a lot of care.
I'm looking at colinblunstone.co.uk, and I'm trying to find your tour dates. There's loads of tour dates. I see that you're playing the Borderline on Sunday, the 24th of April.
Well, we are definitely playing the Borderline in London, yes. Looking forward to that. It's one of the first gigs I ever did when I started playing live again back in the 90s. So it'll be fun to go back there.
I've got the dates now. You've got Derby, you've got Hessel. I've got no idea where's Hessel?
Hessel's near Hull.
Is it? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You've got the Stables in Milton Keynes, which is a great venue. Wolverhampton, yeah. Southampton, Fletching. The Borderline, they say, on the 24th of April, which is the gig I'm going to try and come down if I can persuade my wife that I deserve an evening out, as I've been a good boy. Do you still enjoy... You must still enjoy doing the gigs and meeting the fans and doing all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really great fun. I think that if you enjoy performing, then to get out and... to play the songs you love with your mates, I mean, and see the world at the same time. I mean, what more could you ask for? It's brilliant.
Listen, Colin, it's been so nice to talk to you. I'm going to do my best to get to that gig, and if I do, I'm going to try and come and say hello and shake your hand and thank you. And I'm genuinely embarrassed that this amazing... Honestly, guys, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, Odyssey and Oracle, go and get it, because it is just... It's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece, and it's criminal that it's been overlooked. But I suppose, in some ways, it's kind of the gift that keeps on giving, because the fact that we're talking about an album that was essentially a flop 50 years later...
I know. It's a mystery, that album. It sells thousands and thousands every year, and yet it's never really been a hit. I don't understand it, but I've given up trying to understand it now.
The song for me on there is This Will Be Our Year. That's the one that is just has got classic written all over it. I'm going to end with that. Colin, it's so nice to talk to you, mate. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Lovely talking to you, Ian. All the very best.
Cheers. Speak to you soon. Thanks very much.
You said, darling, I love you. You gave me faith to go on. Now we're there, and we've only just begun. This will be our year. Took a long time to come.
Imagine recording this, right? It's such a good song. And then going to be a clerk in an insurance company.
The warmth of your smile, smile for me, little one. And this will be our year, took a long time to come. You don't have to worry, all your worry days are gone. And this will be our year, took a long time to come. And I won't forget the way you helped me up when I was down. And I won't forget the way you said, darling, I love you. You gave me faith to go on. Now we're there, and we've only just begun. This will be our year, took a long time to come.
Come on, man.
And this will be our year, took a long time to
Colin, what an absolutely top bloke. That was absolutely delightful. I just need to write down in my diary. Hang on one second. April the 24th. Oh, I don't think I can do it then. my wife's working late. No, nuts. Maybe I'll go to the Milton Keynes gig because the Stables is a cracking venue. Maybe I'll do the one in the Stables instead. Yeah, I can do that. We're going to go to that one on the 17th. There we go. Sorted. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You're more than welcome to. We're going to take calls straight to air after the news. So don't worry about that, guys. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. The hero of the moment has to be... Have you seen this guy, Ben Innes? I love Ben Innes. Who's Ben Innes? Oh, where's my copy of The Sun? Oh, where have I put that? Oh, there it is. Ben Innes is the Dennis.
Yes.
Have you seen Ben Innes?
No.
Oh.
Well, I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
That young lady who had an unfortunate at the tennis match.
Yes. Oh,
could get a job as a PA for Trump, couldn't she, Donald Trump?
Why?
Oh, well, she made the right noise. But I've just listened to... I started with that, but then I started listening to talking about music.
Yes.
Are you really as daft about music as you say?
What do you mean as daft about music as I say? Daft about music?
You know, to me, music is just noisy wallpaper.
You are joking. Dennis.
Don't forget, I come from a time when youngsters couldn't afford records.
Yeah.
I mean, the last record I was bought was Richard Tauber. You know...
I've got literally no idea what that... Have you got your teeth in?
Of course I have.
They sound all over the show. Well, music is the doctor. Makes you feel like you ought to. Listen to the doctor. You know you got to.
Yeah,
that's
honestly,
the Doobie Brothers. I'm quoting the Doobies at you, man.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that we youngsters, we couldn't afford records. It was only when the music industry suddenly decided that youngsters had got money in their pocket, they decided to get it away from them by creating all these... horrible sounds.
No, but they're not horrible sounds. Yes, some of them are horrible sounds, but even to some people, those horrible sounds are beautiful sounds. They're pet sounds. You've got to find the sound that fits your soul. That's a great line.
Is it?
Yes, find the sound.
Well, I'll let you know.
Find the sound that fits your soul.
I thought you said it fits my own. No,
steady,
yes.
steady on, Dennis. Come
honestly,
on, man! Come on!
No,
you've never listened to "Tomorrow Never Knows" by the Beatles.
No, I don't sit and listen. As I say, I do what I'm doing, and in the background there's music. So to me, it's just noisy wallpaper.
Oh man, alive, Dennis! You're breaking my heart.
I know. But then that's life, isn't it?
That's life,
bye-bye.
Dennis. Nice to talk to you, mate.
Bye bye.
Ta-ta. Music is just noisy wallpaper, man. So Ben Innes is Ben Innes is the front page of the Sun, not because he didn't hijack the plane in Egypt. Hang on a minute, Paul.
Hello.
I'm trying to talk about Ben Innes.
Oh,
do you know who Ben Innes is?
No, I don't. No.
He's my hero. He's the fella that had his picture taken with the bomber on the plane.
Oh, brilliant.
Anyway, go on, what you got for us? You got 45 seconds.
Okay, I'd just like to say I really enjoyed your interview with Colin Blundstone. He's a really nice man.
Isn't he a nice bloke? I can't go to the gig in London. I'm going to go to the one in Milton Keynes, hopefully. What a nice man.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. I'm gonna brush up on some Zombies music, I think.
Honestly,
after that.
Odyssey and Oracle is a treat. The new album is a treat. Start with Odyssey and Oracle because it really is. Yeah. It's a masterpiece. It's better than Sergeant Pepper. I hate Sergeant Pepper.
Oh.
Sergeant Pepper's overrated. Revolver is the best Beatles album. Revolver or Abbey Road?
Well, I suppose. What about Rubber Soul?
Rubber Soul's in the top four.
Oh, well.
Thank you very much, Paul. Goodness, I've got to go because I'm going to be late for an ad. 0844 499 1000. This is Talk Radio. I'm Ian Lee. We'll take your call straight to it after we've had a bit of this.
Talk Radio.
You might not love it. That's entirely up to you. This is Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Again, thanks to Colin Blundstone. What a delightful gentleman. Last hour of the show, I'm going to sit in the studio with Kath. We're going to talk about rubbish, go through the papers, and we will be taking your calls straight to air. Yeah, you can phone up about anything you want. You can say anything you want. I've got a dump button, so, you know, you can literally say anything you want. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. We'll take some of your calls after the latest news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Why the hell not? Now I'm hungry. Come in, sir, come in. We've had, believe it or not, Catherine, we've had a tweet from... who tweeted? Hang on a second. Where's it gone? Adrian says, I'm missing Kath.
Oh, just the one.
Just I won't read out the others from the other side of the fence, but just the one. I've got sciatica. You know what sciatica is?
Bad back.
No,
trapped
mate.
Nerve.
Yeah, it's when a nerve... Because your back is... So the nerve gets trapped between your vertebrae.
Oof.
And it's muffing my leg right up. Really, my buttocks have gone numb.
The only way I can understand how that feels is when I had that epidural. And about 3 months after that, it muffed up my whole body.
Well, when I had what they call in America a spinal tap,
uh-huh.
You know what that is? A lumbar puncture. Yeah. You know what is that?
Is that not the same thing as an epidural?
Well,
they take stuff out rather than put stuff in.
They take, you know what they take out?
Fluid.
Spine fluid.
Spine juice.
They take out your spine juice and you can see it. And you know what?
What colour is it?
It's transparent.
Eesh.
Right. And you lie there. You have to do it on your side and you have to bring your legs up. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified of it. Terrified of having it done. And actually, it's all right.
Oh.
It's all right.
Did you not hear it squeak?
Yeah. And you're not allowed to move when they do it. You've got to stay really still. It takes about 40 minutes, right, to get all the juice out. And then they left the juice in like a little jar and they went out. So tempted to dip my finger in.
I bet it would have been sweet.
I was so... Do you want to say I got a sweet back? So tempted to dip my finger in. The lumbar puncture was fine. What they didn't tell you was about 12 hours later, for the next 6 days, you cannot move otherwise... Because you're out of balance. So you've got to lie down so that the fluid can build up again. And if you sit up, your body goes...
Wow.
And you sit up, and if you sit up for, like, 5 seconds, you're nauseous for the next 3 hours. And, like, it's like a cross between a hangover, a druggy come down, and seasickness. Oh, it was awful. I was clinging onto the bed, going, for crying out loud.
Right.
So fun times.
I've had 2 out of 3 of those and none of them were fun.
Mate, you've not had a lumbar puncture.
No, I mean seasickness and a hangover.
I've had all three. I get seasick. So when we were in Greece and we got a ferry from one island to another, it's an hour. And we sat looking there, we stood there looking at the place getting smaller. And 5 minutes into it, I was like, I've got to go and sit down. Sorry? Honestly, please look after the kids. I cannot talk to you. And it was awful. It was like sitting in my car at 3 a.m. waiting for the man when he's told me he's only 5 minutes away. And boy, oh boy, he doesn't arrive until 5 a.m. I was jonesing on a ferry.
Gracious.
Goodness gracious me. Can't do that voice anymore.
Don't.
Oh, goodness gracious me.
The one time I've been on a ferry was going over to France.
Brian Ferry.
No.
One-way ticket.
No.
It did, hang on. Was it bumpy?
Yeah.
Brian Ferry I'm talking about.
No, P&O.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Both.
Anyway, there was me and a load of nuns being sick.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was kind of a religious stroke horrible experience.
Some people, well, I can understand that. So, Ben Innes... is my hero.
Yeah, not a selfie, but
it's
still.
Not a selfie. This is the thing, this whole story. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Quite on the phones today.
People were more annoyed about it not being a selfie than they were with him having the cheek to ask for a picture.
He's gone up to the terrorist fella.
The not bomber.
The hijacker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can I have a picture, mate? And he said, and he's been questioned, why did you do that? I wanted to see if it was a real bomb. How would you know, Ben? How would you know, Ben? You're 26. You live in Aberdeen. How would you know that was a real... But you got a military training, Ben, for crying out loud. What are you talking about? A crazy Briton, crazy, told last night how he posed for this grinning selfie. It's not a selfie, because a selfie, you've got to have an arm out.
Yeah.
That's a photograph. Mm-hmm. Someone has taken a photograph.
Stewardess, I'm guessing.
With a jet hijacker at the height of a terror drama. He said after the man surrendered, I'm not sure why I did it. Who said that?
I'm guessing Ben.
Ben, okay. Turn to page 7. I want to find
I know one. Why I did it. What are you going to lose?
Madcap Ben Innes. Madcap.
Madcap.
Madcap Ben... Well, he could have lost his life.
Well, if you thought he was going to die anyway, you might as well have a crack at it, eh?
Madcap Ben Innes was rapped by security experts last night. Oh, in your face, security... I tell you who I don't like. Experts. Experts. Security expert. Oh, security expert. Well, at the other place, we'd get, like, that miserable terror expert. Do you remember him from
I
the university?
Him.
Oh, he was miserable. He was a scaremonger. He was an S-stirrer.
Yeah.
Line one?
Hello?
Experts.
Yeah, I am. On everything.
Go on, then. Show us your expertise. Display.
OK, well, I'm surprised no one's brought this up. But it appears that that hijacker is in fact the demon headmaster.
It has. Do you know what? It has been highlighted. He's either the demon headmaster or he's Jack Straw.
Probably Jack Straw.
He does. Someone tweeted. It wasn't you that tweeted me that picture, was it?
No.
No, someone tweeted me a picture of the demon headmaster from the kids' TV show. Yeah, it's him. It's the same fella!
Yes, now we know what happened. He hypnotised the entire plane into believing he had a real suicide vest.
Yeah.
And then he hypnotised this guy to take the photo with him.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen the picture of the lad next to him? It's a good photo, isn't it? You'd have to get that. That's a cracker.
Well, he's either incredibly brave or ridiculously stupid.
I like to think he's both. The security experts wrapped him for risking passengers' lives with his astonishing hijack selfie. It's not a selfie. One said, it's a sign of the times and the Facebook generation. It was highly irresponsible and could have gone very badly wrong.
Miserable thing.
What, more irresponsible than a man pretending he's got a suicide vest?
Yeah. Good point.
That, out of the two of them, we should not be berating the Scottish boy. We should be berating the gentleman who's obviously got issues, who's made a really bad-looking suicide belt, let's be honest. It's not that... I could have done better than that.
Oh, I think any of us could have done a better job than that.
No, listen, thank you very much indeed, yeah. Don't have a go at the lad, have a go at the fella!
Yeah.
Ben, 26... was among 62 people on board an Egypt Air flight from... we've got to try and get him on the show. From Alexandria to Cairo yesterday when a terror suspect seized control and threatened to detonate a bomb belt. Ben took his chance to take the selfie of a lifetime. It's not a selfie! During the deadlock, which saw the jet surrounded by heavily armed troops. The health and safety auditor from Leeds...
Hilarious.
..said last night, OK, I'm not sure where he did it. I just think, gosh...
Is he from Leeds?
He's Scottish. I'm a wee lassie from Kilmarnock. I'm not sure why I did it. I just threw caution to the wind while trying to stay cheerful in the face of adversity.
That's terrible.
I figured if his bomb was real, I'd nothing to lose anyway. There's several words missing from this. I'm having to add words to this story. I figured if his bomb was real, I'd nothing to lose anyway, so I took a chance and got to get a closer look at it. I got one of the cabin crew to translate for me and asked him if I could do a selfie with him. It's not a selfie! He just shrugged okay. So I stood by him and smiled for the camera while a suit...
Go on.
I'm going to read this sentence. It's really annoying me. 0844 499 1000. He just shrugged okay. So I stood by him and smiled for the camera while a stewardess did the snap. While a stewardess did the snap. It has to be the best selfie ever. It's not a selfie, mate. You don't understand what the word selfie means.
Irresponsible. Irresponsible use of selfie.
We've got to get Innes on just to correct him on that.
I think he might have been pulled up a few times already.
Ben, who works in Aberdeen, was returning home on a business trip. Ben said, I could see he had what looked like a bomb and I was scared. But he didn't seem particularly anxious as we landed. He eventually let virtually all the passengers leave, but I was left behind with two other Brits. After about half an hour, I asked for a photo with him as we were waiting around. I thought, why not? If he blows us all up, it won't matter anyway. I also thought it would be a way to see whether his device was real.
Oh.
I could see something taped around his waist and he was holding onto some kind of trigger. It was hard to be sure, but I reckoned it was more likely to be fake after I got a close look back at it.
All right, MacGyver.
So I decided to go back to my seat and plot my next move. What was his next move?
Naked selfie.
No, I'll tell you what his next move in a second. Line 6, you're on the wireless.
Welcome to the best of British quizzes. And on the line tonight, two people play great prizes. First up, a man who burst onto the scene in Knots Landing, created the character Professor Brian Cox for the BBC, and is the current face of Bachelor Peas, it's Ian Lee! How are you doing this evening, Ian?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you very much, yes.
Excellent. Next up, a lady who's having the best year of her life. She's back on the radio with Ian Lee. She's an expert on getting yellow sticker bargains at a local supermarket, and if the press reports are correct, linking her romantically with Rob Benet, it's Catherine! Do you have a message for Rob this evening?
Rob, call me!
Where to shave his initials into your body hair, maybe? Wait, let's move on. So, The fact is this. I'm going to spin the wheel. On the wheel are some of British TV quizzes, past and present. So we have shows like Name That Tune, my favourite Going for Gold, Are You Smarter Than a Vinny, yes. Jeopardy, Screen Test, Pointless, and Blockbusters, and much more. When you say stop, we'll pick the quiz. Okay. Are you ready? Just
yes.
Say stop whenever we go. Whenever you're ready, just say stop. Whenever
stop.
You're ready.
Stop!
Just say stop.
I'm saying stop. Stop.
All right, let's try and stop it there, shall we?
Stop.
Okay, you've picked. Oh, wow, it's blaggity blag.
Okay,
so it's very simple. All I'm going to do is give you a category, and the category is old catchphrases. That's old catchphrases. And remember, people, if you're listening, these wonderful people don't get it, ring in with your answer. So the question is this. I was on my holidays in Stoke-on-Trent the other day.
Yes.
As I walked down the high street, I spotted a man walking in a funny manner. I strolled over and asked him, "Are you okay? What's wrong?" The man looked at me and said, "I've got a dirty..."
Oh, for crying out loud. Thank you, and they've gone on that bombshell.
I didn't get a go.
No, you don't. It was a long build-up to a weak punchline. We've caught this one because it's in the United States. We're live, broadcasting live to Dallas, Texas. Catherine.
I've never been more excited in my life.
Me neither. Although apparently it's not... Well, we can ask this gentleman, but apparently it's not actually a very nice place.
Yeah.
Let's ask him. Christopher...
Yes, sir.
Is Dallas, Texas not a very nice place?
It's very nice now that we have open carry here.
You have open carry. You mean you can carry your guns around without hiding them in a brown paper bag?
If you want to wear a cowboy hat and wear a pair of six shooters, you certainly can.
Wow. You can literally walk around, right, in Dallas, which is a city with big buildings, wearing a cowboy hat and pistols in the holsters at the side where people can see them.
Yeah, if people want to be... I haven't seen anybody, but you can carry an open carry now.
Man, I'm going to go straight after the show.
I'd quite like to get tooled up.
I'm going to go and do an open carry, which is not the same as a cash
and
carry. Wow.
All right, we can get tooled up and go shooting around the town.
Well, I don't. Let's maybe not go and do that. I don't want to go shooting anything.
I want to shoot some tin cans off a wall.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can do that. You can do that, Christopher. Why are you listening to this rubbish?
Well, I first heard about you from Geeky Girl, and it was in a tweet. And I heard about you getting let go from the BBC for what I thought was an outrageously. I mean, it was crazy. It was so benign of a comment, and it was true.
It was crazy. But let's not worry about those guys. Those guys don't matter.
Anymore. No, no.
Is that your real voice?
I started listening to you. Yeah, it's probably horrible.
No, I love it. I love it. It's fantastic. You know, in the same way that some British people, whenever I go to America, I become Hugh Grant. I stammer a little bit and I become a little bit better spoken, and people love it. And you get rushed to the front of queues in shops. Oh, it's fantastic. You, Sir Christopher, if you were over here, you would be treated like an oil baron.
No, y'all have the best accent.
Well,
very elegant.
If only we could. You carry on talking to him, Cass. I sort of fix my headphones. Go on.
So, Christopher, what did you want to? What did you want to tell us?
Well, first off, I guess that guy that said music is noisy wallpaper. Oh. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's a shame for him.
You
isn't
might
it?
As well just say, "Yeah, just say I've given up. I have no soul."
Well, that's Dennis.
I mean, you know, that's crazy. That's just bitterness.
What kind of music are you into, Christopher?
I like heavy metal.
What?
Oh, hang on a minute.
Not country, but you're from Texas.
Yeah, I saw Disturbed last Wednesday. And that band is everything that a professional rock concert should be.
Which band did you see?
Disturbed.
And what's their big hits? Give us their top two songs.
Down with the Sickness. Yep. And Stupefy.
Stupefy. I'm going to stupefy down with the sickness. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you need to hear that.
Yeah, it sounds good. About right, doesn't it? You're right. You're having a drink, Chris?
I am having a White Russian.
Nice.
Have you got any guns nearby?
No,
good.
Yeah, I'm having... No, actually, I don't even own any guns.
Good for you.
I was in the military, but yet I have no guns.
Christopher, listen, I've got to go because I'm late for a break. It's nice to talk to you. Keep in touch. Don't go anywhere near guns after a White Russian, whatever you do.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Yep. 20 past 12, Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Take your call straight to where? 0844 499 1000. Call the cost 7 pence a minute. Plus, you provided the access charge. More on mobile in it, of course. The way it works is, normally when you phone up a radio station, you talk to the producer and they say, yes, hello, what would you like? Okay, well, we'll call you back in a little bit. Call straight to air. You can get on with any old rubbish. You can do whatever you want. You want to sing a song? You want to have a tell me you think the show is rubbish? You can do that now that I have access. This is why I don't like having the texts and emails in front of me, because I can see people saying, this is rubbish. I don't need to see that. Or you can sing a song. I don't care what you do, man. I don't care what you do. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. I'm just going to sit here and talk to myself otherwise. And there's now, I'm really trying with this new show, right, to not be snarky about things and to not be nasty about it, because it's easy. Being nasty about stuff is easy. I've made a career out of it. Hang on a second, let me just take this. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Ian?
Yes?
Hello. I've got a horrible confession to make.
Okay.
I've not really been listening, and I've missed the show.
Right.
Could you sort of catch me up in a sort of brief bite-sized summary of what I've missed?
Yes. Okay. Yasser can't turn his speakerphone off.
Oh dear.
Colin Blunstone from the Zombies is a delightful gentleman, and Barry's wife farts a lot.
That's pretty much highlights.
Yeah. It's really, you know, it's been up there as one of the best.
Blooming heck.
Yeah. Where were you, can I ask?
I've been out clubbing with the youngsters.
Right. And you thought, well, on a Wednesday?
Well, you know, one does like to, try things from one time to time, you know. Don't you?
No, I don't like to try anything. I like working... I like sleeping, and I like lying in bed reading. Those are the three things. I don't like to try anything else. No, I've got all the friends I need. I've got what?
Little bit of something a little bit naughty every so often.
Like, I don't know. No, I don't really know.
Oh, I think you do. I think you're having us on.
I'm not having anybody on. I haven't done anything naughty for about 12 years.
12?
Yes.
Good Lord.
Yeah, well...
That's a long time in anybody's lifetime.
Have you had a naughty night, then?
Well, you know, it got to the point where I felt a little bit old, so I thought I'd better leave them to it and get back to the safe house, you know.
Okay, well, I'm really glad that you've called in, and hopefully you won't be doing anything naughty tomorrow, and you can listen to tomorrow's show.
Thank you for catching me up. I'm going to go and enjoy the rest of the programme now.
Tatty bye.
Tatty bye.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Now, so I'm trying not to be nasty and not to be snarky, because it's easy. It's really easy to do that. And I've made a career out of it. The 11 o'clock show, TV programme I did 15 years ago, I'm so proud of, but a lot of it was pointing the finger and laughing, right? And that's fine, okay? And a lot of the radio stuff I've done has been a little bit... cruel is too strong a word, I think. But I'm just trying to not do that, I think, because it's easy. But sometimes you can't not do it when you get given a story like this. Girls have no truck with gym. Lorry love leaves them cold. Now, I'm going to read the story. You make your own minds up. An Eddie Stobart fan... Stop it there. An Eddie Stobart fan Why would you have a fan of Eddie Stobart? Line two.
Ian.
Yes.
How's it going? This is Andy. I'm in Croydon.
You say that as though I know who you are, Andy.
No, you don't, mate. Well, we have spoken before. It was a long time ago, and I wouldn't expect you to remember. But I've got something I'd like you to help me out with.
Yes, sir.
If you wouldn't mind. It's a kind of a social experiment, and I think it's very important.
Yes.
I have a theory that you might be able to help me prove or disprove, and that's that people who are bald bang their heads more often than people who have hair.
Ooh.
So bald people bang their heads more often than normal people.
Yeah.
And the reason I think that is because you're quite a tall person, aren't you?
Very tall, yes. Well, I'm not Robert Pershing Wadlow tall. I'm 6'4", yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm a little bit. I'm about an inch shorter than you. And you've got hair, haven't you?
6'3", you are then.
Yeah, about that. And you've got hair, and I've got hair.
Yeah.
And sometimes, when I'm just about to bang my head on something, it touches my hair, and I duck out of the way like a early warning system.
Like a mouse's whiskers.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if you're bald. That you haven't got the early warning system, so you must bang your head more often. So
that is genuinely...
I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind...
Yeah, go on.
Asking everyone who calls you, if they're bald, how many times in a week, for example, do they bang their head? And then perhaps after a period of time, we might be able to work out,
why?
You know, a statistic.
It's genuinely a brilliant question, right? And in the olden days, I could have got 3 hours out of that. But why should I do your work for you?
Well, how can I do it? I'm not on the radio. I don't have thousands of people that I can address.
Do you know what? I don't think I have thousands at the moment.
Well, 100.
maybe a little bit lower. I've just got a feeling. But you can go up to people in the street with a clipboard. I said clipboard.
Yes. And say, excuse me, are you bald or normal?
Well, no. Well, you can tell if they're bald or not by looking at them.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if I'm going to get many people going on.
Well, you won't get many people.
I think the sample might be higher if you say.
Well,
task for me,
Andy. We'll put it out there then. Are you?
Can I say one more thing, mate, before I go?
Yes,
and it's not stupid. Two things actually,
and it's not stupid. I'll be the judge of that, Andy.
Well, first of all, it's brilliant to hear you back on the radio, and secondly, your rendition of "Do It Again" last night was a triumph.
Oh, do you know what? You've inspired me. I might sing another song for you in a minute, Andy.
I think you should sing "Alone Again." Or
I don't think I've got an instrumental for that, but I'll come up with something just as nice. We can ask that. Do bald men bang their heads more often? You know when you do bang your head and you get that dent in your head? Is that... How close is that to your brain? If you dent your head, right, is that having... I'm realising this is a really stupid question, which is why I'm struggling to phrase it. When you dent your head because you get up and you bang it in a cupboard or something like that, have you dented your brain? Yeah.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Your only friend, but I'm a little glowing friend, but really I'm not actually your friend, but I am. Look, canary in the alley by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. I have a secret to tell from my electrical well. It's a simple message and I'm leaving out the whistles and bells. So the room must listen to me, filibuster vigilantly. My name is Blue Canary, one note spelled L-I-T-E. My story's infinite, like a Longines symphony. It doesn't end. Blue Canary in the outlet by the light switch. Who watches over you?
Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Instrumental, thank you. I'm your only friend, I'm not your only friend, but I'm a little glowing friend, but really I'm not actually a friend, but I am. There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry that stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fine if that were my lot. After killing Jason off and countless screaming argonauts, bluebird of friendliness, like guardian angels, it's always near. Blue canary in the alley by the light switch, who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, keep the nightlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, keep the nightlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
Yes, line two, you're on the wireless.
Right, you know sometimes dad's got to sort out the kids fighting?
Yes!
Right, so we may have a problem.
Go on.
Caddick has blocked me on Twitter. I've not done anything nasty to him, but we might need to do like a Jeremy Kyle thing.
I'm not... I don't want to get involved in yours and Alan. For those who don't know, Alan is the gentleman that phones up and sings the Minder theme. I don't want to get involved in any argy-bargy between... Because both of you have got screws loose. To be honest.
Right.
Right.
He, all I did was I texted him, how are you? I've not heard from you in a while, and he's blocked me completely. Which I
quite personal questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite personal questions. Yeah.
And if you read his Twitter feed, the stuff he puts to various people,
yes,
not safe for work, so there needs to be like a Jeremy Kyle type thing, I think. Yeah, you can, you know. I'm just saying, if he calls in again.
Yeah. So what if he calls in again? What do you want me to say to him?
If we've got like mad beef.
Okay, I'll ask him if you've got mad beef. Thank you very much indeed. So this story starts with four words: an Eddie Stobart fan.
Oh.
But why would you be a fan? You used to be able to report them if they weren't wearing ties, the Eddie Stobart drivers.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the sort of thing little boys like to count, isn't it? And write down.
Oh, it's a boring game.
Yeah, but little boys like boring games like that. Don't they? Some little boys. Mostly little boys.
Well...
Mostly boys.
Yeah... What were you saying?
Mostly boys.
An Eddie Stobart fan says girlfriends keep dumping him, or the implication there that he gets girlfriends.
Yeah.
Because he has the UK's largest collection of toy lorries. No. No, it's because he has the face of a 9-year-old.
I was really surprised he was of an age to get girlfriends, because he looks about, yeah, like you say, like 12.
He looks 9 years old. He's got milk teeth. Some adults have milk teeth.
Teeth.
Yeah, the teeth don't drop out, and it's the same ones. That's a thing. Do you remember the Indian lad? He had 200 teeth removed recently.
Mm?
Do you not see that?
No.
Hello, I'm talking.
No, I'm just imagining and having two. I mean, I've got quite a lot of teeth as it is, but...
You've got a very busy mouth. On a Google, Indian lad, 200 teeth removed.
There is a member of my family by marriage who's got a couple of rows of teeth.
Here he is. Like he is. Indian doctors removed 232 teeth.
Good grief.
From the boy's mouth. There he is.
That's more teeth than me. Flipping it.
Yeah! Yeah!
How can that all fit in one head?
La 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 la! they made a pattern?
Oh, they're tiny teeth.
Some are tiny, but then what's that big one, those big ones in the middle? Some are massive. Some are massive. Yes, line two.
Oh, hello, Ian, you all right?
Yep. Just starting to wake up. Go on, Carl.
Thank you. I was going to say, I won't mind singing a duet with you on the on that song.
I bet you'd love to. I bet you'd love to. So would Whitney Houston, if she was still with us. God bless her soul. And Taylor Swift, which is the name I meant to say, but for some reason Whitney Houston popped in first. I bet you'd like to, Carl. What? You just have to join the back of the queue of hot ladies that want to sing with me.
Some of them alive.
No, that...
Some of them are alive,
song.
Yes.
That song. Yeah. Bird out in your soul.
Yeah, I bet
I'd do that with you.
Yeah, I bet you'd love to. Yeah. What, once I've done it with Taylor Swift and Macy Gray.
Kyle, do you know anything about pop collaborations? You don't just ring them up and start singing. You have to negotiate.
Well, but it's him, isn't it? It's him. It's all right.
Yeah. The answer, Kyle, is not in your lifetime, buddy.
Okay, no worries. Here.
There we go, you see. I've got to be...
It's a little bit harsh, but I can see where you're coming from. You can't do that with
everyone. Who's the woman I'm trying to think of?
I don't know. Today?
I'm saying Whitney Houston and Macy Gray, so that should give you a clue.
All right.
Miley Cyrus.
No, not that. I mean, there's no connection whatsoever.
The names are very, very similar. If you did name maths, you would have got to Miley Cyrus.
Right.
James Bonnet has spent thousands collecting more than 300 model wagons and other memorabilia relating to the haulage legend. Here we go. Can we get this fella on tomorrow's show?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, this is your thing.
I don't think he's going to be busy, put it that way.
A lorry from his childhood was recently valued at a whopping £800, and the whole collection is worth nearly £11,000.
Still not attracting me to him.
His 17-year obsession has seen him lose several girlfriends, although he has now found a like-minded partner.
Oh.
She went Stobart spotting with him on Valentine's Day. But James, who lives with his mum, said, I had a girlfriend who didn't like me spotting. She wanted me to spend all my money on her instead. I was saying, you are not going to stop me doing my hobby. It was a factor that contributed to the breakup.
You know what's happened here? They've made some out of nothing there. They've gone to see a lad who's got a bedroom full of, like, model lorries.
Yeah.
And he's made one comment, and all of a sudden he's losing loads of girlfriends over his lorries. It's not that at all. He just said that one girlfriend didn't get it. Or the lorries.
James, 24, from Radcliffe-on-Trent, Notts. Let's get this going on tomorrow's show.
All right, I'll have a go.
Is now working towards leaving his job as a co-op baker to become a lorry driver. He said...
Can you do the accent?
I met Mr. Stobart at the Peterborough Truck Festival in 1999, which made my love for them grow even more. Hang on, that was 17 years ago, so he was seven. He met Eddie Stobart at the age of seven, and that's inspired him to pursue what is, we don't have to be snarky about it. What is a great collection?
Yeah.
What is a great, and you look, it's got pictures of it. It is stunning. I mean, it looks like it's up in a loft room or something. That is a brilliant collection.
And the thing is, Eddie Stobart was quite a charismatic type. He was a sort of Richard Branson of the haulage world. And he had his own programme, didn't he, on the telly?
Yeah, Stobart, Keep On Trucking.
Yeah.
With G.H. Luckin. Oh, that was something else. Let's get this fella on. Let's celebrate him. What's the try? Hey.
I'll either ring his home or the co-op.
Yeah, exactly. I remember once the best episode of Come Dine With Me was the woman who sadly now died, the alcoholic woman who fell asleep and her guests had to cook the food for her.
Oh.
It was a brilliant, brilliant group of people. And we asked Channel 4 to get them on the show. And they said, no, we can't let you have them. We said, go get them on the show. We'll plug the show. We like Come Dine. We'll plug the show. He said, no, we can't let you have them. Anyway, he said what town it was in. And one of them worked in a carpet shop. So we phoned the carpet shop up and we got them all on.
Boom.
Got them all on. They said, yeah, we'd love to.
Recently, there was a very good come down with me with a man who chucked them all out at the end.
No. Fell
out, yeah, because he didn't win. He was in such a mood about it. He thought his food was far superior. And he said, right, take your money. I hope you choke on it. Chucked them all out.
It is humiliating losing. As I have done, it is humiliating losing... to come down with me. I came last behind Lembit Opik, Jodie Marsh, and the delightful Debbie McGee. But I came last, and you have to do... And I was really annoyed. I knew I wasn't going to win. We all knew that Jodie was going to win because cheese souffle.
She can cook, can't she?
She can cook. She really can. She was, it was cracking stuff. Anyway, yeah. I nearly made a joke there, but because she was wearing very tight trousers.
Yeah.
But to lose to Lembit, and he only beat me because I gave him a really low score. I gave him the right score.
Right.
And then afterwards, I said to the woman and the director, I said, I feel really bad doing that. Can I give him? I'm going to be generous. He did his best. His best was he cooked some soup and then just put loads of chunks of Stilton in it.
Oh.
I said, can I give? I gave him two more. I gave him a five instead of a three that he deserved.
You've got to stick with the tactical voting. That's what everyone does.
Yeah.
Also, the way you serve it these days, it's all about presentation. I watch MasterChef, right? And it's all about skids. You've got to, you know, you don't have a load of gravy on it. You have a skid of gravy. You don't have some, like, nice raspberry coolie. You have a skid. And that, apparently, is cuisine.
What was this thing that was on the other night where it was like MasterChef?
Yeah. Oh, no.
For posh people.
No, isn't it Bake Off Creme de la Creme?
Oh, for crying. We'll talk about, hang on. Let's have some of this.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Taking calls straight to it. 0844 499 1000. Line 7, you're on the wireless.
You still fear Mike Mendoza.
Say that again, but with less nasally.
You still fear Mike Mendoza.
Well, that's is that guy still alive?
Of course he is. That's why you fear him.
He must. I would fear him more if he were dead. He must be about 106 now, that guy.
You went to his birthday party.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Have you ever had your nasal cavities drained?
That sounds extremely painful.
Yeah, I just think you sound very bunged up. Do you snore a lot?
No.
Ask your husband if he can hear you snoring a lot.
I will.
Thanks very much for calling.
That's
a condition,
that's
isn't it?
That's a congested
nose. What's the
thing
they put in your nose? It's grommets in your ears. There's something they can put up your nose, or maybe I'm imagining that. I might be imagining that.
Are you thinking about his adenoids?
That's something
he wants them out.
I nearly had mine out when I was a kid. They used to whip everything out.
What
when
are
you were
they?
Kid.
I don't even know what they are.
Well, adenoids and tonsils, I nearly had out, and then I didn't. I think I would have been the last. In fact, I've got to ask my mum this. Because I was all set to have my tonsils out. They were explaining to me what would happen in the hospital and how I get to eat ice cream for 3 days afterwards and I'd be swallowing scabs.
Oh, wow.
I remember this.
I heard about the ice cream thing, but never the scabs. But yeah, now you say it.
Of course it'd be scabs.
Ah. Little boys eat them anyway, don't they?
Why did that not happen? That's only just, it's like you know, having a traumatic memory just pop
flashback.
Up to the surface. I remember that. I was getting ready for... I remember going to the doctors, going for some tests at hospital, and I was going to have my tonsils taken out, and my mum explaining to me what would happen.
Did she explain too early and you didn't need them done? Well, you must have.
You
weren't gowned up, were you?
I wasn't gowned up, no. But they stopped doing them. Maybe I was, like, on the borderline, the cusp of it, and then they... Because they don't do it very often. They used to do it to everybody. Everybody would have their tonsils and probably their adenoids taken out.
Yeah.
Now no one does. Where are all those tonsils and adenoids?
Well, in jars.
I want to know. Yeah, exactly. Government experiments. VIP paedophile ring cover-up.
What would they want your tonsils for?
Because there are some sick perverts. If you can think of it, they're doing it. And I can think of someone having sex with a tonsil.
Wow.
And so that's happening now.
Tiny.
And I have to drive past Dolphin Square every night to get home. Every night. I'll have to ask my... She won't remember, unfortunately. Well, she might do. My mum's memory is terrible. But she remembers the oddest thing. And she might remember me being prepped for an operation that never happened. Then anyway, she might not. I don't know. We've done the bionic penis, which is a shame.
Well, it was a shame for him, yeah. But it seems to be working out.
Here we go. This is a stupid story, right? This is the sort of... I bet this is done by scientists and researchers. Why don't you go and cure cancer? Why don't you go and research the important stuff? Like Andy asked, do bald men bang their heads more often than normal people?
Because they can't feel it with their hair?
Yeah.
What, like a cat's whiskers?
Yeah, exactly. Were you listening? Because that was the exact conversation we had.
Yeah. But I'm just rationalising it. Like a cat's whiskers. Yeah, you would be able to feel vibrations down your hair root shaft.
By the way, can someone for tomorrow do some maths and tell me exactly how many Beach Boys songs contain the word vibrations? The Beach Boys are brilliant, right? They're the most... I've got hardly any Beach Boys on my computer now. They are the most self-referential band of any band. They've done so many songs where... Have I got any Beach Boys on here? They've got so many songs where they just talk about Beach Boys songs. I haven't got any. I'll have to dig some out.
Yeah, some research required.
A bit of research required. Oh, hang on a minute. I'll find it on here. Listen to this, right? From a Brian Wilson album that never came out. You'll hear why. He does a rap.
What?
Smart girls talking about smart girls. Sexy ladies with high IQs. listen to this. It references loads of Beach Boys songs. Oh gosh.
Oh wow.
We're trying to get this guy on the show, by the way. Here we go. Let's count the Beach Boys songs.
Oh no.
My name is Brian and I'm the man. I write hit songs with the wave of my hand. Songs to surf and sun and sand. I make great music with my band. What? Songs to dance to and songs of joy. Cause I'm the original Beach Boy.
Two.
Surfing USA. All the songs I used to write talked about girls who were too bright.
Three.
I gotta run. What I was looking for I never found. But time moves on and I've seen the light. Intelligent.
Four, intelligent chicks are dynamite. Five.
Now some guys fight the faster types, and some guys just run archetypes. I'm no different from the rest. I let hips and legs and breasts, but strictly on a higher plane.
Sexy ladies with high IQs.
This is terrible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, delicious.
Yeah, it's just... and the Beach Boys constantly... they're constantly referencing themselves in their own songs. I missed this call. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello.
Right, Dennis Brooks. I've already had a go with Ian already. He was talking about tonsils. I had mine taken out in 1929.
Right.
I was 3 years old at the time.
Okay. Just slow down a bit, because I've got lots of calls coming in. Who's this?
Dennis Brooks.
Dennis...
Brooks.
How are you spelling that?
B-R-O-O-K-E-S.
B-R...
O-O-K-E-S.
Double O... I've got...
I've got
B-R... Double O...
Is that Ian?
No, he's... put you through in a minute. B-R-O-O...
K-E-S.
And what's the point you'd like to make?
Well, it was on about the not doing the tonsils. I said, I had mine taken out in 1928. I was 3 years old, and it was a done thing in those days.
Mm-hmm.
I was so small, they carried me... He kept one of these... blokes carried me into the theatre.
Yeah.
They stuck a thing over the top of me, it's like a... teeth strainer with cotton wool in, and there were drip teeth into it.
Oh,
he asked me to count up to 10, and I said, I can't count to 10.
Yeah.
So they just knocked me out anyway.
Oh.
I woke up with one of these bean-shaped...
In the war?
Sorry?
Was this in the war?
In the war? Christ, it's not... No. 1928.
The war?
No. Nope.
War years. So you've got a war years story... About
it's not the war years.
If you want to go, you want to talk to him about war years. I'll put you through. Hold on, caller. Hang on.
Okay.
What was the name again?
Brooks. Dennis Brooks. He knows me.
Okay. We'll talk about war years. We're not really talking about war years tonight.
No, but he was talking about tonsils having tonsils out.
Tonsils having tonsils out.
Yep.
I don't think tonsils have tonsils. Put you through, caller. Put you through, caller. War story. Stay there. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Right. Ian Lee? Where is he?
Dennis?
Yes?
Can you hear me, mate?
Yes, I can hear you.
What's going on? I've been calling you for the last 2 minutes. What's going on?
Well, they don't call wireless these days. It's radio. Wireless was in my days when we thought there was no wires in the damn thing.
It says on my screen you've got a war story. We're not really taking war stories tonight, Den.
Not a war story.
It says on my screen...
You were on about tonsils, having tonsils out.
Yeah.
And I said I had mine out in 1928.
During the war?
3 years old. And they scooped the damn things out.
Okay. And do you still have them?
In those days, everybody had it.
Yes. Do you still have them?
No.
Okay.
No, they'd gone long ago.
Okay.
Christ, I hope so.
Imagine if imagine if your tonsils came back to haunt you. Imagine if you woke up one morning and they were in a jar next to your bed, right? And you put
them... Didn't even give me in a jar.
Yeah,
no.
But then imagine if you woke up the next morning, they were back in your throat.
What?
That could happen.
And they're crawling back down.
Could happen, couldn't it, Den?
No, they scooped them out with them bloody... Like a spoon.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Line two, are you there?
Hello. Hello, Ian. Good evening, sir.
Good
evening, old chap.
Good evening.
Yeah, I've got something in a jar. Listen.
I'm flipping out.
You hear that?
You're not that fellow with the bionic penis, are you?
No, that's Cyril the Cyst.
Oh, you dirty man.
And he's about 7 years old now. I might stick him in the post for you if you want.
Oh, I don't want that, you filthy cold right. He's gone. I'm like, what? Don't phone up with a... You
that
pervert.
That sounded rock hard. Mind you, it's quite old.
Disgusting. So, here we go. Sad songs. Here's the most pointless sentence ever written in a newspaper, right? Apart from how to inflate a bionic penis.
He's got a button on his testicles, is that right?
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, you. I said I wasn't in the mood.
Finish now.
Hello.
Sad songs help people deal with grief better than listening to upbeat music, researchers have found. Oh, for crying out loud.
Researchers from the university are stating the bloody obvious.
Tracks by... Why is everyone giving Adele such a hard time for doing Glastonbury? I bet it'll be a bloody good show.
I bet she'll be excellent.
I bet it'll be a cracking show. All the hits.
And?
Get your phones out and pretend it's a candle.
She does lovely banter in between.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with Adele. Don't be snobbish.
It's a made-up story by people who couldn't give us stuff anyway.
People who are jealous of Adele.
You're the only one. And, I don't get what's the point. And also, it's Glastonbury, right? So if you don't like it...
Go and watch someone else.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, Coldplay, terrible band, but...
They like him in Glastonbury.
Tracks by artists such as Adele or Radiohead evoked sad emotions, but these could lead to feelings of consolation, which was not the case with happy music. People turn to gloomy music in a crisis to help them move on, did Montfort University found.
Oh.
Dr. Anna-Mieke van den Tol... coming over here, stealing our research grants, said... By connection to sad emotions in music, they turn negative emotions into something more peaceful.
So where's she from?
Well, her name is Anna-Mieke van den Tol, so she's Dutch.
Oh, so can you do a Dutch voice?
I nearly swore then, and I've not sworn once, despite the fact that you've wasted my day, Boyle. The day has been wasted and I didn't get to speak to one of my heroes. I left one of my children in tears. Didn't get a chance to say goodbye properly. I spent the day with them. Didn't get to have a sleep. Came in, paid the congestion charge. At least I paid the congestion charge, which you haven't done for the last 2 weeks.
Don't, because that...
She's not paid the congestion charge for the last 2 weeks,
guys. I set
up
an account, but I didn't put my bank details in, so I've got stung, and there's probably more to come.
Well, you didn't...
And it's my own stupid fault. That's the worst thing. You know it's your own stupid fault.
You didn't get stung.
No, well, I am.
You didn't get stung, mate. You didn't pay the congestion charge.
I'm banged to rights.
So you've got 2 weeks of fines coming up.
I'm banged to rights.
Thank you very much indeed. There'll be a podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Go to iTunes or your podcast provider. We shall be back tomorrow evening at 10. Till then, from us, ta-ta.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lift.